The honorable Texas Republicans, ever the bastions of civil rights and the defense of the marginalized, have been trying to pass a voter bill which would guarantee and protect the rights of all the marginalized people of Texas. But the evil Democrats, who seek only to strip the rights away from the poor and the working class, have fled knowing that they can do nothing to stop civil rights from reaching the marginalized people. So they, I'm done with that bit, but you get the point. The media frames everything in a specific way. What's really happening is the Republicans have a couple bills they want to pass that are going to, pull back some of the lax voting provisions that were pushed through with COVID. The Democrats fled. They don't want to give a quorum to the Republicans. You may have heard the story, but long story short, fleeing was illegal. And the Texas House has voted to arrest the Democrats the moment they return. So there we go. This is a fascinating story because when the Republicans in Oregon fled for something about climate change, they said, we're going to block quorum. We're not going to be here. You can't vote. The media across the board said Republicans were destroying democracy. Now, what are they saying? They're saying the Democrats need national support. So as long as the media is going to play that game, I will play that game right back. The honorable and noble Republicans are trying to protect the poor, marginalized people of Texas. But these evil Democrats just want to hurt and maim and ruin and destroy. We must fight back against the evil corruption of the Democrats and their vow to destroy democracy. Yeah, okay. I'm half kidding. Half kidding, because it actually is happening. We got a bunch of crazy stories today. It is absolutely insane today. We got this new report coming out. The Navy got woke, went broke. A new report says the Navy went so woke, they stopped prioritizing actual war fighting training. And now they're not ready for war, as Japan is warning. The escalation between the China and the U.S. over Taiwan is getting very serious. No joke. Now, elsewhere, South Africa, 70, I think the total amount of dead is 72. Mm-hmm. Regular citizens are shooting at rioters. It is nightmarish going on. So we're going to talk about all this. It's going to be a heck of a spicy day, that's for sure. And we're being joined by the incredible Olivia Rondo, writer, commentator, and wrestler. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Well, hello. Thank you for having me. This is so great. I've been wanting to come on here for a while. I've been cool with Liz on Twitter for a long time. We roast each other back and forth. Mm-hmm. So I think this was a long time coming. But so I write. I do my own YouTube show, which is small. But I write for Manly Fee. I've been a contributor to the Daily Caller, Campus Reform, Lone Conservative, Porter Media, and The Rogue Review, a couple others. And I'm also a collegiate wrestler, which may provide some insight on some current events today, especially having to do with the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we'll talk about the Olympics and, yes, the new rules. And it's the issue of, gender and wrestling. And the interesting thing is there are some instances where people who are born female and transition still, in some circumstance, choose to compete against females. Yet when males transition, they choose to compete against females. It's like a one-way street. So we'll talk about that stuff, too. We also got Ian Chilling.
Yeah, what up, everybody? Ian Crossland over here. I'm looking forward to talking about...
Ian's not moving at all. Something's wrong with his camera.
Time to fix it up.
All right, hold on one second.
Let me tell you from the distance. I'm looking forward to watching these Democrats...
Why does this happen? This is a weird thing, only with Ian.
...exact their duty to perform civil disobedience.
That's not the issue. The issue is the computer.
You guys get what I'm feeding you?
Something that happens with the computer.
Ooh, mystery.
Where Ian's camera freezes.
I mean, maybe I'll move seats.
Yeah, you're going to have to move
seats.
Ian has been erased from the show.
Anyway,
bye, Ian.
The Democrats of Texas are establishing civil disobedience, which is their duty to flee. The duty to flee state.
They have a duty to represent their constituents.
Yeah, they do.
Tim speaks the truth.
There you go.
Yeah, and by fleeing, they're not doing that.
Well, it's true.
Like, even if they were to put in a vote that was saying no to these provisions, that's how the process works.
My point is, saying it's illegal is not enough to say that it was wrong, because the American Revolution was illegal. And I argue that it was right.
All right, Ian's going to put you on that. Yeah, he's also moving, so we're actually going to get his camera working.
The circumstance is certainly nuanced. The issue is how the media frames everything, how they manipulate the conversation. And if someone wants to stage a filibuster, I've got no issue with that for the most part. I get it. It's part of the process. But the Democrats are the ones who are saying to get rid of the filibuster, then at the state level are cheering on the Democrats who are filibustering. So,
What up?
Yeah. How's your camera look? Is it working?
It's good. Yeah.
I'll
be resituating.
Oh, there we go. Oh, there's Ian. He's
Hi,
alive.
Everyone.
Yeah. Yep, there we go.
And you can guess what kind of clothes he's wearing. I don't know what's wrong with, it's not the camera, it's the computer. There's something about Ian's camera Yeah. It just freezes on him from a single frame from the show the night before, which makes no sense because we conclude the show the night before.
It's like, really weird.
It randomly pulls up a frame from the middle of the show for some reason.
Freaking weird, man.
Yeah.
It is weird, isn't it?
I'm an alien.
Yeah, it's true.
I think Ian's doing it on purpose.
Magnetic personality.
All right, we also got Lydia pushing buttons.
Yeah, I am technically pushing buttons in the corner. Now we've got Ian figured out, and I'm excited to have another lady on the show. I always love having my girls on. I need some female representation over here.
And don't forget, go to timcast.com. Become a member. We're going to have a bonus segment for the member. It's the members only podcast that goes up around 11 p.m. every night. And that's available if you become a member. But when you're a member, you can help support our journalism. We've got a ton of people we just hired. Like, this is getting crazy. But things are going pretty well. And the company is taking off. We've got new shows in the works. We've got three new show ideas. We're going to be doing the paranormal mystery true crime show, which many of you have heard about already. And then we've got a culture show doing movie reviews, games. We've got the D&D show in the works. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. So again, timcast.com. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Okay, now that all of the plugs are done, let's talk about the news. This is the big story. From NBC5, DFW, Texas House. Texas House votes to track down Democrats. Arrest them when they return to Texas. House Democrats can't be arrested until they return to the state, the governor says. So this is the update, because initially, Governor Greg Abbott was like, we will arrest them, mark my words. Now the Texas House was like, all in favor of arresting them? And they're like, yes, the Democrats are going to get arrested. Here's a funny thing about all this. It's a filibuster, basically. Apparently, Texas has already passed the bill anyway, the voter bills. The media is trying to make it seem like Republicans are trying to strip away the rights of regular people. The Republicans have no real counter to this because the mainstream media lies all the time and conservative media doesn't. Oh, I can already hear the collective screams of all the leftists who are hate watching this show claiming that all conservative media does is lie. Yeah, then why isn't Tucker Carlson coming out saying Republicans are trying to pass voter protection bills to protect the rights of marginalized people? But the left thinks that they should take those rights away. No, he doesn't do that. The right never does that. And that's one of the reasons the left keeps taking, because they keep putting pressure. They keep doing these propaganda campaigns. Well, at the very least, Republicans say they'll arrest these Democrats who are, what are they? They're fugitives?
Yeah, apparently now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess they're going to get arrested, right?
Does this mean that they're officially arrested? Like, do they have to, like, vote on this declaration that they're going to arrest them? Or is this,
they did vote
this
on it. They voted.
So are they on the lam now?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, that was why Gene, what's-his-name, was tweeting about his first meal as
delicious.
A fugitive. Oh, it's a Caesar salad. Oh, my gosh.
And you get Kamala Harris, and you get the national-level Democrats, and all of their cronies in media who love licking their feet, saying, like, these are heroes helping protect the rights of people. Let me explain something very, very simple to everybody. What the Republicans are doing actually is to protect the rights of people who want to vote. What the Democrats are doing are purposefully damaging voter integrity, which confuses and mucks up the system and makes it very difficult for people's votes to be counted properly, for the system to work properly. There's no chain of custody on some of these votes. They have curbside voting, universal mail-in voting, 24-hour voting. Not only that, it's really expensive. You got to maintain staffing for these things and security for these things. So what the Republicans are doing is they're trying to pull back only a little bit of those special provisions, which effectively means the Republicans are still losing no matter what. Mm-hmm. This is the power of the Democratic Party. They win no matter what happens. If they don't get what they're asking for right now, the Republicans only curtail a little bit of the advanced voting stuff the Democrats got. And if the Republicans back down, the Democrats get indefinite COVID special voting access. So, I don't know. There are people who are surprised. I'm not a fan of the Republican Party at this point. Granted, it's Texas.
My mind consistently goes to the military-industrial complex, the liberal economic order developed 1946. It's basically the party of the warmonger. I mean, I thought of them as neocons growing up in the early 2000s, and now it's just accepting that this group like Bill Kristol and, like, I don't know, Dick Cheney's not really involved with the Democratic Party.
The Lincoln Project.
Ugh. Is that what it is?
Oh, no, just like those creepy weirdos.
Friends with Raytheon, and now they got their tentacles inside the brains of the DNC.
I mean, they always did.
Did they?
Yeah, so it's funny when people talk about what the Democrats are doing, and I'm like, yo, the Democrats and the Republicans were doing all of that forever. The only thing that changed was that Donald Trump ran full speed and slammed his body into the front doors and broke them down. And then with Trump throwing himself at the doors and getting in, people believe the Republican Party somehow, like, was better. Mm-mm. They're not.
I just saw an article that said that the DNC is proposing that they're going to go through people's text messages to look for COVID misinformation.
That's
absolute disgusting overreach of power.
That's beyond authority. This is it. Ridiculous. The Democrats are like communist authoritarians at this point.
It's disgusting.
But do you really believe they haven't been doing that this whole time?
Good point.
They're just announcing it now, but.
No, they're going to block your texts. Like, that's something I've never seen.
Yeah, that is on a whole other level.
Unless you live in Cuba. Or China.
Blocking your phone call? Like, if you just couldn't make a phone call because of your last phone call, you said some stuff in it.
Redacted.
Well, definitely we should get into that, but let's talk about what's going on in Texas. We got the story from NBC. They say, with only 80 of 150 House members present Tuesday, the House lacks the necessary two-thirds of legislators to do business. A call of the House motion was called that compels all members to the House to appear in the chamber. Those who do not appear are subject to arrest. The call of the House was approved 76-4, with four Democrats in the House chamber voting nay. Following the vote, the doors to the House chamber were locked, preventing anyone else from coming or going.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is no joke. State troopers from the Texas Department of Safety may now be appointed to go look for the missing legislators at their respective businesses and homes.
So they are on the land.
But they'll be unlikely to find any of them since they left the state the day before. Texas law enforcement is unlikely to track the lawmakers to D.C. since they lack jurisdiction in the nation's capital. During an interview on Fox News Monday night, Governor Greg Abbott said, once the Democrats who fled the state return to Texas, they will be arrested and brought back to the Capitol. They're quitters. That is not the way we do things, Abbott said in the television interview. This is fascinating. You know why? The Democrats are claiming we got to get rid of the filibuster. The filibuster is a problem, they say, at the federal level. But this is basically what they're doing.
You can charter a plane and flee. You can become a fugitive and flee your actual duty in Texas. And I mean, this is worse than a filibuster.
It's like
miles.
It's a hardcore filibuster for sure. Like so the way the filibuster basically works in the Senate, if someone says, "Hey, I filibuster," then they need 60 votes to overcome the filibuster. I guess they did that because they didn't like the idea of someone standing up and talking for 30 hours, which just shut down the vote, like it ends the session. And so I guess the Democrats tried things like that, you know, they've delayed the vote, they've skipped out on the vote. And they keep doing this because they've lost Texas. Now, here's the problem, man. You can't function this way. How is Texas, how is any state, how is the government supposed to function when people are just like, if I don't get what I want, I quit? I'll walk out.
So has this come from like the Oregon Republicans doing this to like fight against whatever it was there? Like
it was climate change.
Yeah, it was like a climate change thing. Did they set the precedent here and this is just the Democrats that are carrying it on?
No, I think this is just a normal tactic, but it's interesting you see this, and the core issue here is voting. Like, we're not even talking about policy anymore. This is literally just, I hate you and you hate me, and let's hate each other as much as possible. If they were like, you know, we need a bill that, like, fixes the roads, and Democrats were like, but you're not going to fix the roads, right? We argue over policy. Like, that would make sense. Now they're just like, the Democrats are like, we want no security in our election. We want people to just get a ballot sent to a random house.
And if you disagree, you're a racist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So well, that narrative didn't work.
If these Democratic politicians that fled, if they're doing like what their conscience dictates, then I guess they're doing the right thing for them. But should then they be removed from office because they can't functionally participate ethically?
Yes. I don't believe they actually think they're doing the right thing. I think it's a virtue signal. Yeah. I don't think they genuinely believe that they're saving the day. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah, it's campaigning. Their constituents in their blue areas are going to be like, yay, clapping and cheering for it. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to get done. What are they going to do? This is how insane it is. What are they going to do? Stay out of Texas for a year?
I don't know.
Because Abbott said, we will keep calling special sessions until the election. We'll keep doing it. So that means the Democrats from Texas have to have fled the state and they can't return.
What's a special, what'd you call it? A special what?
A special session.
What's that do?
Did I say election? A special session.
Yeah. Special session.
So the way it works is there's the normal process by which there's a session of the House, like most states and jurisdictions have this. And if the governor chooses, he can convene a special session and call back the state Senate and the state representatives to come in and do their votes and everything. So a lot of states have that system. So Governor Greg Abbott, they're Republicans. Republicans have Texas. So he said, okay, special session it is. And then the Democrats were like, no. And they ran away. Now there's no quorum. Now they can't hold the vote.
So why don't they just treat it as abstentions?
That's a good point. I think they should. Mm-hmm. I was saying earlier, they should vote on this bill right now. They should put it, someone should draft it up. If you are absent, you know, for at least three sessions in a row, you forfeit your position as a representative from your district, and you are removed or something like that.
Yeah. You start abstaining. If you, maybe you could have someone come in and vote for you. Maybe.
At the very least, send a proxy, but then why are they getting taxpayer money?
That's yeah, imagine you're a taxpayer in Texas, and these people are like, we're getting paid, and they're going and partying on private jets.
Yeah,
and their salaries should probably be halted while they're refusing to do their job.
Good point.
Yeah, look, I'm all for the civil disobedience, right? But hey, that has consequences. Well, you get arrested, you get fined, you get all that stuff.
Where in the private sector would you be able to say, I'm just not coming into work, and not only that, I'm not coming until you give me what you want, what I want? It sounds like a union.
And you have to still pay me.
Exactly, I mean, you still have to pay me.
Nowadays, actually, a lot of places in the private sector.
Okay, well, I'm old-fashioned, I guess.
Yeah, people do this all the time where they'll be like, I've decided that you're a bigot, so I'm not coming into work for 2 weeks. And the boss goes, okay.
Ugh. Wow.
Whatever you say.
Diversity training.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there was one of the companies I worked at, who I won't name for this one's a bit specific. There was a woman who threatened retaliation against anybody who told her she had to do work. And so apparently she literally did no work.
What?
And she got paid a ton of money.
But what was the reason?
All the bosses were scared that they would get a harassment complaint. And they were like, so that she, follows
But she
you.
Was saying they were sexist or harassing her
yep.
or what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But like, wow. I don't think it was as overt. Like, she walked in and said, I will say this about you. But apparently upper management was scared that they knew this woman would do it. Mm. And it was implied. So they were just like, here's your salary. You can have whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Have a nice day. And she's got paid to do nothing.
Female privilege.
And Christ. I remember talking to one staff and they were like, this person literally doesn't work here, but is here, just eats food and then gets paid and then leaves. And then I was like, so why are they paying this person? And they were like, because she threatens them. You know, they're scared.
So that's like implied blackmail, mm-hmm. which apparently is not a crime. You can, if you're subtle enough about it, you can get away with it.
No, Ian, it's not blackmail to say, I will report you for harassment.
Right. You're just doing your job. You're just doing the right thing at that point.
Yeah, so
even if they're not harassing. Can I say that? I will report you for harassment. In parentheses would say, if you actually harassed me, but you didn't.
The line is very thin, and it really just depends on whether or not the feds want to go after you or the authorities, whatever, in the state. But if you threaten somebody with accusing them of a crime, it could be extortion or blackmail. But depending on how you frame it, then they can't accuse the person of, you know. So the issue is, if you're an employee, then in this instance, you don't actually demand anything. You just say, I've had it up to here with this harassment. And you look around, they say, I'm not going near that person. Mm. So you get a person who just, anyway, the Democrats.
This is my problem with the Democrats, is the DNC is obviously corrupt. Since I've seen what they did to Bernie Sanders in 2016 and probably so many other things, you see this, the DNC stuff. But that doesn't mean that every Democrat is culpable, corrupt, or even has bad intentions. Like, there's some amazing people that happen to be in the Democratic Party. Like, obviously, Tulsi Gabbard, she was incredible.
Is she still there, though?
No, she rolled.
No. Mm-hmm. I think it mostly does. I do. Like, the Republican Party today is very, very different. Like, Trump came in and smashed through those doors. Yeah, you had the neocons. A lot of those people fled to the Democratic Party. All right? But I'll put it this way. If, like, you know, look, man, I know the cartels murder tons and tons of people. Doesn't mean every cartel member is a bad person, right?
Well, that's actually a good point.
No.
I don't think people are drafted into that lifestyle kind of against their will, and they don't want to do the damage, and they're kind of forced to,
and then eventually get out of it. Right. That's a good point, but I was being facetious a little bit. The Democratic Party is not a cult of, actually.
Okay, all right.
Okay, well, the Democratic Party is bad, but you can always walk away. Yeah. You choose to be a Democrat. You know, as far as I know, Democrats aren't going to hunt you down for being an apostate to the Democratic Party. But I think the Democratic Party, it's really fascinating to see this meme where people say that the left and the right both view each other as the problem. I saw someone said the left thinks the right is abusing its power and will stop at nothing, and the right thinks the left is doing it. And people need to realize, it's like, hold on a minute. The people who say that are the people who are like sitting back with their feet up watching Police Academy on rerun, like on repeat, not really paying attention to what's going on, looking at the screen and seeing liberals and conservatives fighting. And they're going, they just think each other are bad. Well, it's true they do, but one side's objectively right and one side's objectively wrong, and the Democrats are psychopaths. The Republicans are do-nothings. Mm. The Democrats are insane.
What they did to Bernie was basically like made an apostate out of him, it seemed like, in 2016. And he just bent over and took – he just let them just take it
to
him.
Such a disappointment.
Yeah.
Man, why didn't he run independent?
He's scared.
for my whole life, I'll be wondering. 2016, he could have went independent and won that race.
Ian, how many houses? Admit it, he just sold out. He's just a sellout. That's it.
How many houses does Bernie Sanders have?
Three?
I think it's three.
Three,
right?
Yeah.
One that's
yeah.
worth over $1.2 million or something.
Oh, really? Is that much?
I don't know. I'm guessing with inflation, maybe.
I think he's got like a townhouse in D.C. for work. He's got his house in Vermont, and he's got a summer home.
Yeah, his wife's parents.
You write a book, you can be a millionaire too.
That's right. You write a book. So where did Bernie go when the Democrats started going crazy and demanding allegiance? And Bernie, I remember that photo of Bernie in the gym with that really crappy banner. He's like, "I'm running for president." And then he runs. He gets really, really popular because people saw him as a populist, and he was. And then he had a meeting with the DNC, and he was like, "Okay, I'll do whatever you say, Hillary Clinton."
You gotta get.
And then he endorsed her.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Democratic machine is broken. The neocon Republicans fled to the Democrats, and now they're panicking because there's like the gates. To, you know, it reminds me of that battle in Lord of the Rings where the orcs are trying to break into, what is it, Helm's Deep?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's probably a bad analogy because in this instance, the orcs are the good guys breaking down the door. But the point is, the Democrats are in the fortress and they've crossed the bridge. They've broken the doors down. And now the elites are freaking out because with a lot of the populist Republicans and Trump's popularity, they can't do anything about it. Now, Steve Bannon made a good point. Or no, actually, I don't think it was Steve Bannon. But I can't remember who it was, that populism only goes so far. Was this Darren Beatty?
I think it was, maybe.
No,
yeah.
That was Darren.
I think it was Darren, yeah.
Yeah, populism only gets you so much. You can have all the people on your side, but if you don't have any of the elite factions, you struggle to get anything done.
It's true.
Yes. Yeah, when the way that people kind of cognitively dissonanted when the Hillary's emails dropped. I'm obsessed with Hillary's emails. I read a bunch of them, John Podesta emails, stuff about Sidney Blumenthal getting us into war in Libya with Osprey, his company, Osprey Global Solutions, is like a gun running company. They basically coerced our Secretary of State to get us into war so that they could profit. And people didn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. People just sat there and
She's
watched.
Too powerful.
Then yeah. I realized, okay, maybe we need populism. Maybe we need emotional sway to get people to do things. But like you're saying, if you don't have the institutions, which we kind of do,
we
but mm-mm. I mean, this is an institution. Mm-hmm. TimCast is an institution. You know, it's
bro. We're like we're the rebels.
Yeah,
like on the ragtag group using makeshift cargo ships to go up against the Death Star.
Yeah, this is the Millennium Falcon. Hey,
I'll take it.
Yeah,
that's why I find it so hilarious when you have these like leftist YouTubers who are just sitting there ragging on the right all the time. And it's like, imagine, we need to parody this, maybe. We should do it. We should totally get, make that comedy show we're talking about with Seamus, where we could have, like, they're on the Death Star, and it's like, Empire podcasters making fun of the poor people who are fighting back, insulting these Jedi, a bunch of religious fanatics, you know, with their order and their force, you know, and they think, you know, they're fascists. They're all fascists. They want to indoctrinate kids. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a bunch of Imperial guys on the Death Star and they're like blowing up planets.
The Death Star.
That's basically what it is. That's why I find it funny when you have these progressive YouTubers. Maybe not necessarily progressive, but some of them. But the really establishment Democrat ones.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're just like, haha, Trump is bad and the Democrats are good. It's
Trump,
like,
orange man bad. Mm-hmm. No more Trump. Mean tweets. At least Trump is gone. And that reminds me, I made this tweet like maybe a week ago, just expressing the cognitive dissonance that they have, saying like, oh, at least I didn't vote for the president that said that, you know, I will grab them by the
hoo-hoo,
P word. Right. I'll grab them by the hoo-hoo. But I voted for the president that said that if you don't vote for me, you're not black. Black people can't use the internet. Just, I mean, he disrespects minorities and black people on a weekly basis. He doesn't know where he is.
What was the latest thing Kamala said? That poor people can't use fax machines?
They can't Xerox. Yeah. Oh, cause they can't make it to Kinko's. Kinko's has been out of business for years. That just shows how out of touch she is.
A little bit, yeah.
And then
she doesn't have a smartphone, does she?
I don't think so.
She's a boomer.
No, the one that flew under the radar was, maybe a week or two ago, Biden was saying, well, you know, black people don't want to get the vaccine because they've been experimented on, you know, the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes.
The Airmen?
Uh-huh.
The Tuskegee
right.
Airmen?
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was
like
so funny.
Fantastic. It was, when I say awesome, I don't mean like in a positive way. Like,
yeah. No,
awesome.
I was in awe.
Like,
yeah.
I was just like, my jaw was hanging open. Like, did he just call like one of the most heroic like World War II pilots syphilitic.
But the other guy is racist. The other guy is racist. Yeah, we had to get him out. Mm-hmm. It was the bad tweets, the mean tweets.
Well, you had your choice between grab him by the hoo-hoo and turn it on a shot of pressure. And, you know, the thing about Trump was like, the thing about Trump is like, I mean, dude's going to run again. He's off the rails a little bit in terms of like, he's like really out there and like, and he's angry. He's a fighter, but he's a fighter. And he really does want to do what he says he wants to do. You know, and he's not part of the establishment in the same way that, you know, Joe Biden has always been a part of the establishment. Certainly Donald Trump is an elite, and I don't know who's on his side, but he went for the American people instead of the wealthy elites. So what I mean is I don't know which elites are on his side. I know he's got the people,
right?
75 million of them. That was truly crazy to me. The people I knew, there was one person who I met at Black Lives Matter protest. I saw her posting on Twitter and I was like, are you voting? Are you a Trump supporter? And she was like, yep, 100% all the way. And she's like sending memes and stuff. I was like, wow. A lot of people started waking up to what was going on. And they were like, dude, I will take Trump over anything the machine has to offer. Why? Bro, the DNC is crooked.
Yeah.
I mean, the RNC, don't get me wrong. Trump's just taken a sledgehammer to the Republican establishment.
He's kind of got them in a chokehold right now. They can't go against him.
That's a funny image, actually.
Yeah.
Someone should meme that.
For sure. I really like that some of Donald Trump's personal attributes are kind of spreading, like with Ron DeSantis. Literally the hand gestures that Ron DeSantis is using, like the whole little accordion thing. He's adopted this.
He's certainly a kingmaker now, so we'll see how that forms the GOP going forward.
Really, I kind of wish he would help develop another candidate rather than try and run again, because I feel like they hate him, and I mean by they, this establishment media organization, hate him so much that they'll really go out of their way to manipulate the media so that he doesn't get in. Like, he's not going to get the tweet again.
They'll do this to anybody, though. They'll do it to DeSantis. They'll do it to Alan West. They'll do it to anybody, right? The thing is, why I said this before, that Trump should run and DeSantis should. Now I don't know if I completely agree with that anymore. That was at the time I was like, here's why I think Trump shouldn't run. As much as the media will lie, cheat, and steal, regular people are triggered by Trump. He's the evil orange man. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. They just start convulsing and veins are bursting at the thought of Trump. DeSantis, they're going to go, who? The DeSantis, he's far right. And they'll go, who? You can't trigger someone off DeSantis. It's not easy, because they're going to be like, I don't know who that is. But Donald Trump's been on TV. He's this high profile figure. They go nuts against him. And DeSantis doesn't have the same statements and
doesn't
tweets.
Have the mean tweets.
He
doesn't have the mean
the
tweets.
Charisma.
It's true, too.
DeSantis is a calmer, more presentable and like easygoing and younger figure.
I mean, he's not like Mike Pence, but he's more like Mike Pence than like Donald Trump.
Pence is awful.
Calm and reserved.
Yeah, Pence was always kind of a do-nothing, in my opinion. Like, he just kind of stood there.
I met him once. He's a nice guy.
He seems nice.
Yeah, he's nice.
But, like,
he was very quiet. Like, he was afraid of saying the wrong thing.
He was quiet.
Possible.
Yeah, now, do you see that CPAC did a poll for the who it was like a straw poll, like a primary
DeSantis
vote?
DeSantis won, right?
No, Trump? Trump got 70%.
Oh, okay.
DeSantis got 21%.
Oh.
Guess how much Mike Pence got?
Zero.
One.
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
It was like 0 point something.
No, I don't know. It just said zero.
Close enough to zero. Wow. Approaching zero.
Nothing. Yeah.
Dude, somebody was, you know, chatting. They were like, Tim Pool says he won't go to Texas because the libs are moving there, but then he says he goes to West Virginia and won't vote Republican. And it's like, yes, all of that makes perfect sense.
Well, when you're picking your VP, what's the point? Like, what do you want out of a VP? Like, why did Obama pick Biden?
They're the president of the Senate, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So you want someone with
a tiebreaker, right?
Yeah.
You want someone with like a senatorial experience is like a big part of it.
Necessarily.
Like, I think about you want someone that's more dangerous to the establishment than you are so that they won't try and kill you. That's my thought. Like, if you want to be like, no, there's no way they want to put the VP
Mike,
in power.
Mike Pence is establishment. He was always establishment.
So is Biden.
I was about to say, Biden was clearly picked. I don't think Obama wanted him at all. I mean, he was, y'all know that quote from, like, I think 2007 where Biden's saying, oh, well, Obama's the first clean, articulate, nice,
oh,
well-spoken African-American. He said that about Obama, his roommate.
Yeah,
I don't think
so
they liked
articulate.
Each other.
Yeah, they
can we go deep on Biden's racism? Because this BLM is like a thing right now, and Biden is said massively racist stuff over the last 50 years,
yeah,
170 years
gone,
of his life.
But Orange Man is gone.
Didn't Biden call black men predators?
Yeah,
and didn't
he
Hillary
did.
Clinton too?
Super predators.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton said super predators, right?
That's a step up, right?
Clinton said super predators.
And I got hot sauce in my bag.
Oh my gosh.
That was weird. Cringe. I don't understand.
Don't you get it? Because black people like hot sauce and chicken.
What if she said she had watermelon in her purse?
Oh, that would be too obvious.
But like, what's the difference to be like, I got hot sauce? It's
no,
like,
that was
stereotyping.
Clearly, no, that was clearly a reference to like black people putting hot sauce
pantry.
On chicken.
Yeah.
I used to drink Frank's Red Hot. My friend was like, I drink hot sauce. I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll try. So I started drinking it.
Hillary was like, I got my grape drink right here.
Oh my gosh.
It's a lot of salt though.
She's ridiculous.
She might as well have just said she was like, she I eat fried chicken all the time. Oh, did you see what IKEA did? Remember that?
No.
IKEA did Juneteenth celebration, and they served watermelon and fried chicken.
And collard greens.
Are you kidding me?
And collard greens.
No. Honestly?
No joke.
Delicious food, by
the way. It's great food.
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, I'd eat
it.
You know what really bums me out, though? I'm like, dude, like fried chicken, watermelon, collard greens, those
collard
are
greens.
Delicious.
Season with
everyone.
A little salt and olive oil.
Yeah, that kind of
but
smacks.
Isn't it crazy that like so IKEA's like, we're going to have these things, and I'm like, that sounds pretty good. And they're like, oh, but we're going to get rid of it now because it's racist. I'm like, come on, man.
It's good food.
It's like good food.
Who doesn't? The funny thing about the stereotype is, like, who doesn't like fried chicken? Vegans?
Maybe, but they still like it. They just don't eat it.
Yeah,
actually.
They'll eat vegan fried chicken.
Oh,
actually. Chicken.
Like Adam and Nish used to get the vegan chicken wings all the time because like fried chicken is good. You just don't want to eat the meat.
I went vegan for like 8 months. Man, when you get a taste of that meat, that vitamin B, oh, it's so good for
you. It's good, but you can tell these elites. You can tell Hillary Clinton has never eaten a piece of fried chicken or any good American fare in her entire life. She eats lizard food or whatever.
Flies.
No.
She eats flies.
She does not have hot sauce in her purse.
Definitely not. No.
I just imagine like Hillary's. Remember that story about Hillary on the she was on the Air Force jet of some sort? Mm-hmm. And they'd like high-ranking Air Force officers are working on the plane. And she, this is according to some story, I guess, she holds up her wine glass and goes,
oh, yeah, I heard that.
Like trying to get some like lieutenant to pour her wine for her. And they're like, dude, we are like officers. We're not, but then they did it. I'm just imagining like her being on a plane and then her going, and a guy bring up a big bag of flies and like ladybugs. And then her just tongue goes, eating them up.
Gross.
No, Hillary Clinton is not a lizard. We're joking. We're making fun of her for being cold and sociopathic.
The amygdala is the lizard part of your brain, I believe. Everyone has it. It seems like in our evolutionary process, we used to be more just like hunting and like seeking meat. And so we developed that area. And then over time, the rest of the brain kind of grew around it and we developed thought and more.
Lizard brain.
Hillary only has the lizard
brain. Yeah, she overdeveloped amygdala. Is that
she ever see that photo of Hillary Clinton in like a regular person's house?
And she's just standing there like
she's looking at the kitchen. And
this
she has,
is what a white refrigerator looks like.
Whoa.
Have you seen that, Ian?
No.
She's like walking through the hallway and she stops to look at their kitchen and she has this look of disgust
she's
and
like
disbelief.
She's
dripping.
Yeah.
like,
she does.
Where am I?
The pores.
Yeah,
the pores.
It's like that Futurama joke where the judge is like, the only poor people I want to hear about are the people who tend to my pores at the spa.
Oh my.
That's how I envision Hillary Clinton. When she's not eating bugs, of course.
Yeah.
I forgot what we were talking about because we were making fun of Democrats.
Biden's racism.
Oh, that's right.
But I felt like it's like banging on a drum that everyone already has heard the song.
Yeah.
But maybe it's reaching
new people.
We can't
talk about it enough. I mean, he got elected on the fact that he was the supposed anti-racist president.
And he said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah.
He said that to people.
Literally.
I love that meme over there on the wall.
Yeah,
from G Prime. It's the comic where the black woman's like, I won't vote for you. And then Biden like, yeah. And he like sucks the black out of her skin.
That's what happened to me.
You know, Ian?
That's why I'm so light.
You mentioned that it's like banging on the drum, but it's the same song everyone's heard. But it's kind of like Fortunate Son, how like in every single reference to Vietnam, you play Fortunate Son.
Oh, great song.
You have to. Yeah,
right?
Old.
Like, yeah. We're talking about Vietnam. You got to play Fortunate Son. So, you know, it might be the same song over going to be like, Joe Biden is like seriously racist. His son is a crackhead. Like, literally, Hunter Biden is a corrupt crackhead who is selling the family name. This is who they choose against Donald Trump because he said mean words. Isn't that hilarious?
Wow.
Grab him by the hoo-ha.
Yeah. Hoo-hoo.
Hoo-hoo. Yeah. Well, FBI is not worried about crackhead Hunter. They're worrying about seizing Legos that are still in the box, unassembled.
So. Oh, isn't that amazing?
No, you haven't heard about this.
So the first story came out that they found a fully assembled Lego version of the Capitol at some guy's house or something. And then everyone was like all shocked, like, like he was building a diagram of something of the cat. Like, what's your point about the Legos? But then it turns out it was just a box of Lego set. Like they went in someone's house and found a box of Legos and we're like, ah,
wow.
And the FBI seized it, and it's unassembled in the box.
What? Who? From who? When did this happen?
A week ago? Just recently.
Yeah. What the heck?
They were trying to imply that it was like this criminal mastermind who had this Lego set, and he was like using it to plan something crazy.
Like a movie.
Oh,
yeah. It was just a box of Legos, and like
it was a kid's toy.
Like literally any kid would have.
You know, it'd be funny. It's like the feds show up, and they go into Ian's room and find like a sketch pad, and he's got a picture of like a werewolf about to attack Santa Claus, and they're like, "Oh my god,
he's violent.
What is he planning?
What does it mean?" And then instead of telling people what the picture was, the media reports like. You know, podcast co-host has violent depictions of famous figures being attacked and brutalized. And then it's like, it turns out it's a werewolf fighting Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Like, it's just nonsense.
Yeah, but it would just show, like, the close-up on the neck with the claw ripping it open.
No, it wouldn't turn
like,
it off.
Oh, who?
Yeah.
And they cut out the part where Santa then turns into a werewolf because it was, like, confusing to the general public.
I think that if someone was really going to plan something, they would use, like, SketchUp, like a digital... thing.
Anything
they wouldn't,
but Lego.
Like,
use
Legos.
I don't know if Lego is to scale of the actual Capitol building.
It's not.
Probably not.
I mean,
what's more terrifying is thinking that someone would have been planning something or that the FBI would stoop to seizing Legos. They seized his Lego set.
And that the media reported it was fully assembled and they were all like, gasp. All these journalists on Twitter, these blue checks were like, oh, egad. A fully constructed Lego, you know, version of the Capitol. And then it's like, oh, it was just a box. It was like, Walgreens, you know?
There totally is a silver lining here, though, like where we were super scared of the FBI, like tracking us and being super
serious. Oh, they're clearly
incompetent.
They're super incompetent.
Holy moly.
No, nothing to worry about,
don't
guys.
Don't forget anymore, yeah.
Remember when the guy, the NASCAR guy, had the garage pull rope?
Oh,
and like
the news.
A dozen feds run to the garage, like, and they find the rope and like,
This was right after like the Jussie Smollett thing, right?
I don't think it was right after, but
relatively close.
Like the feds swoop in and they start investigating a garage pull rope, and then they're like, oh, it's not a noose, it's a garage pull rope, which everybody has and shouldn't be surprised by.
Wow.
But there's an interesting thing about, you mentioned Biden is the anti-racist candidate.
Supposedly.
Well, no, but anti-racist means pro-racial discrimination. That's Ibram X. Kendi's ideology.
Oh, right. Because if you're anti-racist, you believe that all white people inherently have some type of thing wrong with them that makes them hate everybody else. If you said that about any other race, replace white with any other group, that's racist.
So here's what's fascinating, though. Imagine what kind of person sees a garage pull rope and then has like a panic attack and calls 911.
You have issues.
Yeah, man.
You have issues.
Well,
and even if it seriously looked like a news, why is your first thought, it's because I'm black, that there is somebody left this rope in my garage? That's
the indoctrination, man.
Yeah.
That's what they're like. They're indoctrinating kids and people to believe this stuff. That if you, there was one where it was like, they said they found a noose at a construction site. You remember this one?
Mm-mm.
And it was literally just like an extension cable hanging down where someone like tied a knot off.
Oh, yeah.
Like something totally innocuous. And someone saw a loop and they were like,
did they say it was a hate crime? Like towards minorities or something?
Well, the media reports like noose found at construction site.
It's a new symbol, a hate symbol.
Oh.
The symbol of the noose. It's going to be ADL is going to put it up on their website.
No, they already have. Are you serious?
The symbol of a noose is a hate sign?
Yeah, is that already?
Like the swastika?
The OK hand sign is now listed by these organizations.
So I'm thinking the garage pull rope probably had like a little loop at the bottom of it, right? That you could grab and pull.
Yeah, like a handle.
All noosed out.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, this tiny little thing is a noose.
I don't know where we're going, man. 70 is it 70% obesity in the United States right now? 60-70%.
What?
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about if we needed to call up a military. If we were really serious.
I'm talking about the ineptitude of our
military right now. You're talking about the FBI, which is our internal police state, and our this has been on my mind the entire show, which is, I guess, why I'm blurting it out right now. But
we're actually going to get to this. We have a segment.
Oh, good. Let's go for it.
Well, we got. We're supposed to talk about.
If we really have an obese,
we're supposed to be talking about Joe Biden being racist.
Joe Biden is a racist. There you go. The most racist president.
Thank you.
Racist. Is he the most racist president in the last 50 years?
Yeah.
Well, Nixon probably.
I remember when I talked about that guy in New York where he said Donald Trump is the least racist. He was a black dude. He's like, Donald Trump is the least racist president we have ever had in this country.
He is.
But he's still racist. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, oh, come on, man. He's like, you know, people are racist. Donald Trump's an old guy, so he's probably got some, you know, he's got some stereotype beliefs. You can see the kind of way he acts. But let's be real. He's the least racist president we've ever had. I was like, that's actually an interesting point.
Okay.
Like, even if you think that he's racist in some way, admitting that, yeah, we had, he was like, bro, we had presidents who had slaves. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's a good point, yeah, actually.
But he's like, literally Hitler.
Mm, yeah.
No, I mean, the media, like, these people live in this fantasy realm where they're cowering in the basement. It's fascinating. I love this. When I tweeted that, that Democrat guy who's like, I'm a fugitive hiding in the airport. I tweeted something like, he's a fugitive because he's trying to, because he illegally blocked a voter integrity bill to protect the rights of marginalized people to vote. And then someone responded all offended, some blue check, like, remember when you used to be a journalist? And I'm like, oh no, like over target much? Mm. Because the way the Democrats and the media works is that everything is always framed as if Republicans are like goblins going like, and trying to like destroy and burn everything to the ground.
That's my problem about talking about the Democrats like they're villains sometimes, is because I think that if I indulge in talk like ripping on Democrats, then they're going to indulge in ripping on Republicans, and then they're going to indulge in ripping on Democrats, and it's going to propel this. But like those people, it's not the people. The people are cool a lot of times, but the system is,
Ian,
is messed.
You may be a gentleman and a scholar.
Thank you, sir.
But so you're like an elf, yes, and the orcs are coming in and brutally murdering people, and you're like, but we must fight with honor. Congratulations.
Honor.
You know how that honor works for you when the ninja throws the dirt in your face in the middle of the fight.
Oh, you think I'm being too honorable?
I do like the consistency. I wouldn't say like all Democrats are evil or plotting or anything. I would just say politicians are. Mm. I'm not partisan in that way.
Is it true that the system forces you to become that way, or that people like that tend to
I think people like that tend to take advantage of the system. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, and you know the other thing too is that people crave conflict. So if you're a politician and you're just like, I don't want to engage in any bickering. I'm just here to get something done. Here's the bill my constituents want. No one's going to care.
Boring.
No one will know your name. Yeah, you're not fighting. You're not going to war. Yeah. I mean, Thomas Massey's feisty. He's on Twitter and he's tweeting all this stuff.
Oh, he's
pretty rad.
He is, but he won't get down into, I guess, the trenches and actually play their game,
That's good to a certain degree, I guess. My thing is, you know, the Republicans are like, now, let's not go overboard and condemn the Democrats as evil. And the Democrats are literally like, so these evil MFers need to be like booted from politics
these
and excised.
White supremacists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally.
The turn the other cheek method. I sometimes think dude, that's like Christian, that church propaganda to be like, submit, don't defend yourself against aggression. And then so all these people become like slaves to the church. When in reality, if someone hits you in the face, you better take evasive action and figure out how to make that not happen again.
That's right. Otherwise, you just get beaten. Mm. But you have right now, okay, across the country, we had this pandemic. And so then everybody basically said, okay, let's make voting a bit easier because of the pandemic. So we'll do universal mail-in voting. We'll do curbside. We'll do 24 hours, what Texas was doing. All right, now that we have the vaccine out and the rates are declining and Texas has reopened completely, Texas goes, so here's what we're going to do. We're not going to remove all of those provisions. We'll remove some of them. And the Democrats started just foaming at the mouth and screaming and vomiting all over themselves. They're trying to suppress the vote. So what happens is there's two principal outcomes now. The Republicans give Democrats half of what they want or all of what they want. Hmm. Great. Bravo, Texas, I guess. So when I say I don't want to move to Texas because of all these liberals that are moving there, let me explain something very simple to a lot of people who don't get this. Joe Rogan moves from California to Texas. And there's that comic I mentioned frequently where he's carrying the liberal policies suitcase. Well, a lot of people say, yeah, but come on, you really think Joe Rogan's going to vote in all that stuff? Yeah, maybe not. Joe's a smart guy. But what about all the people that get hired because of the industry he brings to Austin? What about when Joe Rogan says, I'm moving to Austin, and then a bunch of people go like, there's going to be new shows, there's going to be comedy venues, there's going to be jobs and industry and opportunity. So they start moving. Then you get Elon Musk, and he's like, I'm going to move to Texas because California's oppressive. Is Elon Musk going to vote for these people? Maybe he doesn't. He's kind of a weirdo. But what about all of his employees from California who then have to move to Texas? Of course they'll vote for all this stuff. So I'm not going to go there. And have that. Now, here's what I explained when I said I don't necessarily want to vote for Republicans. I might. Republicans got me in 2020. We'll see what happens this time around. The problem is, just by virtue of being a Republican doesn't guarantee a vote for me. You got to fight for something. I'm sick and tired of these Republicans who go in there and just wag their fingers and literally do nothing.
Thank you. Because Trump did win me in 2020. That was the first time I was actually old enough to vote. Mm-hmm. So my first vote ever was for Donald Trump. So I've only ever voted for Republicans that one time. But it's not guaranteed. I'm a registered independent. It's not guaranteed. And especially since we're talking about Texas, Greg Abbott was horrible on the lockdowns in the beginning. He had people thrown in jail in the beginning. There was this hair salon owner, Shelley Luther, who was thrown in jail. And then she ended up running for, I think, state senate, I believe, or state representative. And then Greg Abbott throws all this money at her Republican establishment opponent. So you can see the type of Republicans that are running Texas. I mean, they're really no different than the Democrats.
Now, I'll give the Republicans one thing. First, I'll say all the neocons were just awful. I hated that era with W and Cheney and the war. And Jeb. Jeb. At least he gave us the memes, though, right?
Yeah, I'm glad he ran in 2020.
Yeah, those memes will live on forever. Yes. I love the meme where he wins the entire electoral college. You ever see that one?
Jeb.
Where it's like, Jeb. But you know what the best one was in the UK elections when they were like, it's the UK, and then someone made the map of the UK, and it was like Tory and you know, Lib Dem or whatever.
It was Jeb over,
and it was Jeb over the UK. Jeb. He wins all of the UK. So anyway, I digress. Look, what I will give the Republicans is that because of the populist takeover of many Republicans, they've forced the establishment's hand, kicked out a bunch of the neocons, and I gotta admit, they're, as much as I'm not a fan of the idea of voting against a party, Democrats have crossed the line to such a degree, we are at one of the most dangerous points in American history. You think I'm exaggerating? Check out the story we got from the timcast.com alpha demo.
Oh, snap.
That is to say, this website is not live, but you can get a quick little glimpse of what this website looks like. Anyway, to the important news. Biden admin is pushing companies to censor vaccine misinformation in texts. You know what the funniest thing about this story is? So we're getting really close to the launch of our website. We've got a bunch of amazing talent writers and journalists and investigators. We're going to be bringing on an independent fact checker to work offsite and just do fact checking on our articles. It's going to be fantastic. So we're going to have an editor, and then we're going to have a fact checker. And I see this story pop up from the writing crew, and I'm like, there's no way this is real. Huh. And I legit was like, Biden is trying to censor private text messages.
Yeah.
There's no way the government is going to a private phone company and saying, shut down their private texts. All right. I'm like, this has got to be some hyper-partisan rage bait trash. What's the real story? And I'm like, I'm going to have to email people and be like, guys, like, we got to have a better review because there's no way it's true. The story's real. I fact-checked this. I went through it, and I was just like, I got to have a little bit more faith in my writers, man.
Your team.
Because they wrote this up, and it's legit. Joe Biden and the DNC are going to phone companies and telling them to what are they saying? Sort through, sift out, and meet out misinformation.
I don't think they should even have the ability to do that personally.
Yeah. Oh, of course they do. Like, of course they have the ability to do it. But at what point are we just like, well, they've set the Constitution on fire?
I don't know, man. Those texts should be encrypted. This is crazy.
Well, you got to use, Signal. And there's probably other apps, I guess. Mines has encrypted chat, right?
Mines has encrypted chat, uses the Matrix protocol.
Telegram. Yeah.
Look at this. Quote, yeah. Biden's allied groups, including the Democratic National Committee, are also planning to engage fact checkers more aggressively and work with SMS carriers to dispel misinformation about vaccines that is sent over social media and text messages. The goal is to ensure that people who have difficulty getting a vaccination because of issues like transportation see those barriers lessened or removed entirely. What does that mean?
What?
Dispel misinformation.
This
in
is Orwellian.
Text.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. Oh, but like, look, yo. It was like 2016 when they started censoring people, and we're like, man, this sure is like 1984.
This is crazy.
Then it was like 2017, and Luke is like, hey, look, I made a shirt where it's Brave New World 1984 and what was the other one? Fahrenheit 451 all together. And now I'm like, it's been 4 years since then, dude, and it's only gotten worse. And now Biden's like, come on, man, I'll censor your text messages. And where's like the pitchforks?
I don't know. This is quiet. It's happening quietly. Part of the problem. I didn't see it on MSNBC yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe this Rachel Maddow will pick it up.
This is a whole new level of beyond.
You know, a big problem with this that is showing its head to me is that a year ago, well, even like 6 months ago, talking about the lab leak hypothesis was considered misinformation and would have been censored. So
right.
I don't know what's going to not be considered misinformation in the future that's considered misinformation right now that would cause people to have their entire phone history censored or what is it? I don't.
All right.
Put them so on tracking
in the,
lists.
In the report from Politico that gave us an example, Charlie Kirk. He's
what?
The example. Yeah, Charlie Kirk, they Are say, you? Needs to be censored. Why? Because Turning Point USA had a tweet where they said that Biden is, I'm paraphrasing, is sending out goons to go door to door to make people who are not vaccinated get the vaccine. And they said, that's not true. It's not happening. We're just sending out people to go door to door to tell people to get the vaccine, but they can say no. Okay. So maybe Charlie Kirk was being a little hyperbolic, exaggerating
that,
a bit.
Yeah.
Make you get the vaccine. They're not going to make you do it. So, you know, Charlie, pull it back a little bit. But I guess it was a fundraising thing, so obviously the sense of urgency and fear was included in that. All right, but it's only off by, like, the degree of magnitude by which Charlie expressed the idea. They literally are sending these people out. Jen Psaki did say that they were going to have vaccine volunteers go door-to-door.
They are goons.
Yeah.
And they're literally now, this is the craziest thing, there's a video, I think it's in North Carolina, where they go door-to-door, knock on the door, and then say, would you like to get the vaccine? And they interviewed one guy who was like, hey, this is fantastic, yes. I gotta say, man, look, if a stranger, let me just ask you a question. I'll ask you guys both. If a stranger showed up at your house, knocked on your door, and then pulled out a syringe and said, can I stick this in your arm? What would you say?
No. No, I'd say no.
I might not say anything. You might just get suplexed. Right there.
Yeah.
Right on my doorstep.
But think about how insane that is. That there are people where a guy shows up, they don't know who this person is. How are they supposed to know and trust it's a doctor? It's a random person they've never met before. Like, I'm here to inject you in the arm. Mm. Listen.
Holding a syringe.
You, like, the craziest thing about this is there's counterindications. There's allergies. There's literally doctors who will tell you if you can or can't get the vaccine. Most people are fine to get it. But you still need to, like, the stranger on your doorstep doesn't know your medical history. I don't want to get too much into that necessarily because I'll talk about this. I want to talk about the censorship. But that is happening. It is messed up. That's the kind of stuff that they want to censor. They want to, I don't know if that means dispel, you know, but there were a few people who followed up saying, like, wait, let me get this straight. Like, you're saying they want private phone companies to, like, block these messages. Yeah.
This is like, it feels like a lot, like a Hail Mary that is like, this could never get pulled off. They could never pull this off. This could never happen. But these kind of things have happened. Like, I've had that thought of, like, this will never happen. The Patriot Act, I was like, well, they'll repeal that, obviously. Mm. That thing was ridiculous. By 2005, that'll be repealed.
Now they're using it here.
Yeah. So this is kind of terrifying.
You know, they can't just come out and do it right away, right? They announced this right now, but it's not going to be for a little while until they actually start doing it. Because they got to do it one step at a time, mm-hmm. very slowly, like increment by increment. Eventually, people are just not going to realize your texts just don't appear anymore. And they're going to be like, oh, I guess I can't tweet that. And then you know what the left is going to say? But dude, it's a private company.
Wow.
So Ian, what is stopping this from happening? Because I'm with you on this one. I'm like, how could this possibly happen? But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, why not? What's stopping a company from being like, yeah, all right, whatever you say? What's stopping a phone company like T-Mobile from being like, I can go through our data? I mean, they probably already use the data from phone companies to track people like who were involved in January 6th, right?
Definitely, I would imagine. But I think common carrier rules, I don't know the actual restrictions and rules, but I think that they're not allowed to, like, curate what can and can't be said on a phone call or a text. Technically, I think, at least that's the way I believe it was supposed to have been
right.
created and protected.
That's because Definitely they're like a utility, right?
Like
yeah.
yeah.
They're utility. Yeah. So you can't do
but a private company.
Well, so?
But
well, they're,
private
they're
company.
A private they're utility.
Government collision.
Isn't there an agreement, you know, between people who use the service and the company that, you know, they won't look through their messages, they won't censor their messages? Like,
I think it's the opposite, actually.
You like allow that?
No, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, everybody, when you, like, turn on your iPhone or whatever, they're like, we get access to your information.
Yeah.
Because how are they supposed to transmit the information unless they had access to it, right? There's a lot of people don't understand about these social media companies where it'll say, like, we have the, it'll say, you know, in the terms of service, we have the right to host, distribute, and, you know, perform any content you post, create, or otherwise display on our website in perpetuity, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, they're saying they're going to take all the rights to your content. And what that really means is that you're saying you can post this on your website. Like, people don't understand that in order for, like, Instagram to actually show your image, they need to have the distribution rights on that image to a certain degree. And people, like, freak out about that.
Like a non-exclusive right to...
Yeah, otherwise you could be like, I never gave them permission to show that photo in this part of the world or whatever.
I think mine's had, before we went over to the Matrix messaging system, it was all encrypted messaging. Mine's didn't have any of the messages. It would only be the end-to-end user encryption is what it's called.
Is that still how it is?
No, well, now it's Matrix, still end-to-end user encrypted. It's a different system, but a long time ago. So I would think that these Verizon could be doing that with their texts. They just have chosen not to. They've opted to gather the data.
Oh, they got to let that go to the NSA, right?
That's right.
Maybe it's time that we force legalization or...
Well, to me, this sounds a little bit like Section 230. Because why would a company not want to be able to say, oh, I have no access to that information. I can't even give it to, like, a security organization. I can't give it to the government.
Because they don't want to be held liable for that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So why isn't it easier for them just to be like, nope, don't have it, never had it, never saw it, no big deal.
Easier, but less profitable.
That's probably it, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, I could see it.
Well, we're in communist America.
Yeah, it's fun.
The Democratic Party outright is saying, the Democratic National Committee, that they want private text messages censored. Facebook and Twitter have already censored private messages, and Instagram, but Instagram's Facebook. I remember I was talking to someone recently on Facebook, and they blocked some tweet or some post, and it was really, really weird. Like, we were talking about something, I think it was happening with immigration, and I was like, here's a story, check this out, and it was blocked. And it was from, like, a regular news outlet.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, cannot display. There was also a period where you couldn't tweet out, I think, BitChute.
Yeah.
You might still be blocked, I'm not sure. Yeah. So already, as we shift our communications onto, like, Facebook Messenger instead of text, because most people do, a lot of people do, they can already censor what you say between your own friends.
I used to think technocracy would be awesome. Now I'm starting to think this is technocracy. This is what happens when corporations, technical corporations, take over, control the government.
Yeah, but, like, why would I assume that Mark Zuckerberg or Jack Dorsey or Bill Gates know how to actually manage people? They don't.
They don't. Right. They know how to build software code. They know how to entice people with algorithms. Is he not a developer? I don't even know if he's a coder.
He's a salesman. Yeah. Him and Steve Jobs are just business guys. Mm-hmm. They were really good at manipulating people and doing the deal.
I think he did some early development, didn't he, Gates? I don't want to go too – I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, man, I literally don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe this is a technocracy. Maybe not a communism. Maybe this is a technocracy. This is what
it's techno-communism,
like.
Bro.
Techno-communism.
Yeah, yeah. It's communism enforced and controlled through the manipulation of communication technologies.
Communism for the few at the top.
That's communism.
What communism is. Yeah. That's what it is.
When has it ever not been that? And then I love it. That's not real communism. It's like, well, every single time you've done it, that's what it's turned into. Hmm. You know, it's funny. It's like you tell them 2 + 2 = 4, and they say, that's not real 4. It's like, bro, every time you put these things together, you get 4, but it's not real 4. It's 5.
Well, their argument is like humans are too evil and selfish in nature for capitalism to be fair, but they're perfect human beings and they can have angels and saints just controlling the redistribution of wealth and that will never happen.
Yeah,
but it always happens.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem with communism is that we have the wrong kind of human. I've said this many times. I'm like, if we had perfect people, this would be great. I think more than a technocracy, this is like, so this is almost like AI because, you know, humans program the AI and make it happen. Now we're just using humans to try and censor these people. We're using these fact checkers, people like Glenn Kessler, who are just fantastic, people like PolitiFact. We know these people check facts in a very biased way. Mm-hmm. So we're like one step closer to AI, but we don't have any kind of...
There was a famous fact check where Bernie Sanders said something like, half of any inner city youth are unemployed. And then Donald Trump said, you know, it's a horrible statistic, half of our inner city kids not getting jobs. And then with Bernie Sanders, PolitiFact is like, mostly true. And with Trump, mostly false. Because it's subjective. It's an opinion. What is mostly true or false about it?
Yeah. It's like maybe and maybe not. It means the exact same thing.
Yeah. Pessimist and optimist. We hate Trump, so he's mostly wrong. We like Bernie, so he's mostly right.
Half full, half empty.
Isn't it really weird? You know, Eric Weinstein tweeted this. He said, you know, I swear the country was completely, we had a completely different country a few minutes ago. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, no joke. Like, the chain between the factions just severed, and now you have the left who are saying, they're just like, when I think about the modern left, I see a bunch of people just standing there, beet red, screaming at the top of their lungs, And when I think of the right, I see a bunch of people with their eyes half closed, smug, waving American flags. That's like my like vision of the left and the right now. So you can't have a conversation with people who are just standing there screaming at the top of their lungs. Do you guys see this viral video of the woman who's being filmed? And then she drops the floor and starts screaming and crying. I'm like, bro, that is Antifa.
No, I don't think so.
That is millennials. That is Antifa. It's this white woman. And there's a black woman filming her. And then she's like, stop filming me. And she hits the woman and then just falls to her and starts crying and screaming and rolling
twitching
on the ground.
Weirdly.
Whoa.
That's,
but the weird thing is nobody around is like doing anything. They're just kind of like letting this woman
folding stuff
twitch on the floor.
This is millennials, dude.
Like, I'm glad I'm Gen Z.
Yeah, well, like, but Gen Z's got their
I know, we're probably going to be worse.
Dude, you've got these people who have never been disciplined. And so they grow up, and all they do, it's like that woman who falls to her knees, what did she do that when she was like seven? Mm-hmm. And her parents went, okay, dear.
Temper tantrum.
Okay, dear, we'll give you whatever you want. Now she's like screaming, beat red in the face. That's what Antifa is. You can't fail me. You can't fail me. And they throw a brick at you.
Hey, rage feels good, but you gotta get, that's why I do acting and music, cause you get it out on, in a scene on camera and it's entertaining for people, or you get it out in a song and people cry, but like, you don't wanna do it in real life.
Rage doesn't feel good.
Oh, that's why I love wrestle. It. It's like the best outlet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think rage feels good.
Oh, I love
it. It strips you of your focus. It puts you in the animal brain. You lose control.
Yeah.
And then it's like, You get nothing done.
Well, if you're performing,
you're failing.
If you're performing when it happens, then.
Well, that's a production.
After the fact.
But like, to just break down this with this woman screaming, it is, you are failing. You are a failure. These Antifa people, when they go out and they're screaming and just banging their heads and smashing things, that is them failing at life. But the problem is, you know, we can make fun of how dumb they are, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Going around smashing up stuff, screaming and rolling around on the ground and,
So, like, when Michael Malice says that these people aren't really dumb, so obviously we're going to win, I'm like, nah, there's a lot of them. There's a whole zombie horde out there.
And what happens when the zombie apocalypse reaches the highest levels of government?
Oh, gosh.
Check out this story we got from Postmillennial. U.S. Navy in shambles as leaders prioritize wokeness over combat readiness. This is a report that was commissioned by Congress. And they found, in a couple instances, one, there was on the USS Bonham Richards, I think it's called. It's a $750 million warship. Started on fire. Why? They said the people there weren't properly trained. But I can tell you what they were properly trained on: diversity. They have begun to prioritize diversity trainings over combat readiness. One person testified that they handed a CD to someone, said, "Here's your combat training. Go do it. But don't forget to finish your diversity training." No joke. So now you have the zombie apocalypse. We're in a zombie apocalypse. People don't realize this. Did you think the zombies were going to be like walking around mindlessly, just groaning and muttering nonsense? I hope you did, because that's literally what's happening with these people. That's what they're doing. And then what happens is they show up, they all start screaming, and the person goes, and then turns into one of them.
Yeah, right now they're...
Now the Navy is.
They're looking at their phones, and that's turning them into zombies. Soon they'll be in the neural net, and then they'll just be like full on like, getting the information. You'll be looking at you in the eyes, but they'll be thinking about the Donald Trump video they're watching in their mind.
Yeah.
It's the Borg, dude.
Oh, man.
The problem is, you know what's funny about the Borg in Star Trek is that it was efficient. You know? It was able to work as a collective and get the job done. What they don't realize is that who knows which idea or ideology will become dominant within the collective. So we right now have this assimilate or die mentality among the woke left. They're just cultist ideologues who believe nonsense. And that's why the critical race theory thing is so weird, because it keeps changing. The left wokeness, it's amorphous. There's no rules. It makes no sense. They're just insane people. They cancel each other. One day, Wimixin is the right word. The next day, it's the wrong word. They're like, oh, Wimixin is inclusive. The next day, oh, it's offensive because trans women are women. You can't say Wimixin. There's no rules. Then one day they say Asian people are white adjacent. Stop defending them. The next day, stop Asian hate. They are just, it's just a zombie horde. The only thing the collective strives to do is protect the collective at all costs. So that means it will not necessarily provide any meaningful function to the body at large other than minimize damage to itself. So when it gets into the Navy and starts destroying things and things just fall apart, that doesn't matter. The Navy failing and these ships falling apart the U.S. surrendered to Iran because of this. That's what the report said. Did you guys know that?
No.
In 2019?
What?
No. The U.S. surrendered and American soldiers are on their knees with their hands on their heads as Iranian Revolutionary Guard come in at guns and point them at our soldiers. Why? Because they weren't prepared for combat. And that was under Trump. Trump didn't realize what was going on and he should have.
Oh.
He had people like Mark Milley, who is dumb as a box of rocks, who is part of the zombie horde. The whole system is just aflame. That's it. It's just so on fire screwed. Right now. Man, you know what I'll say? The night is always darkest before the dawn. But here's the way I see it. There is an insulated bubble that is the community that we have and the people we talk to and the people who watch this show and the people who share this show. And go to timcast.com, become members. These people are prepared, more so, paying attention, active, and principled for the most part. They're hate watchers, I'm sure. But if the system screws up, you know, you look at what Michael Malice says about peaceful divorce, the dissolution of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
If that were to happen, I'm not worried at all.
Meaning.
I got some chickens. We got some garden food we're growing. We've got supplies. We've got resources. I'll figure it out.
I would honestly love that. I love Michael Malice. So
yeah, he's a smart fella, yeah. Huh? So if there was a collapse, the fires rage so hot within the federal government, it just falls apart. No real civil war. Just yeah, I think everybody's standard of living would go down. I think I'd be all right with it.
No,
I
mean, it'd be horrible. It'd be horrible.
No. What I mean is like I don't want it to happen. You know, I want to see America flourish and be strong and last 1,000 generations because we believe in really great things, but we're being corrupted from the inside out. So what would I feel if I woke up one day and they were like, America's no more? I'd be like, all right, let's start planting food. Let's, you know, I've got survival guides and stuff. I'll look up proper crop rotation and standard farming practices. I'll go to the community up on the mountain and say, guys, what do you propose we do? Shall we start, you know, working together and you know, figuring out things on our own? Look, man, I think if you look at people who live in rural areas, they know how to deal with storms. They know how to deal with trees falling down and power going out.
Tornado.
They know how to deal with running out of toilet paper. The people in cities don't.
The problem, I was studying Kings and Generals YouTube channel. Highly recommend. Go there. Amazing documentary channel. And I was watching a documentary on the fall of the Roman Empire last night. What happened? Firstly, it was barbarians attacked. The empire shattered into like 6 different countries.
Dude, it's gonna happen.
The Gauls, basically, the people from the north came down and took over all of Rome, destroyed it, and created the Italian Empire or the Italian country. And then over like 150 years, they stripped the rights of the Romans away slowly. So if we were to do a peaceful divorce here, I could see like, yeah, you've got your farm, but then all of a sudden in 30 years or 40 years, they come in and take a third of your property and you're at their whim, because they have the weapons, they have the government, and then 50 years later, they take another half of your property. And then all of a sudden, they draft your kids into slavery. And so if we lose this government, we're at risk of suffering something like that, I think.
Okay, so right now, our government really super freaking sucks.
I
would not be sad to see that go, you know? I don't feel like we would miss it. All the red tape would be gone. All the restrictions on these weapons that we were guaranteed in the Constitution would be gone. You'd be able to, you know, do whatever.
Shall not be
to.
Infringed.
Exactly, but apparently it can.
Not
so
a difficult phrase.
It used to be, when they talked about dissolving the U.S., people would raise the issue of the military. They're like, well, what'll happen with the military? As far as I'm concerned, the military is off the table now. The Navy can't even defend against Iranian soldiers. 2 years ago? Are you serious? And Tom Cotton is talking about he has no confidence that the U.S. military will be able to go up against China. China freaking cares about their military. They're taking this seriously. We're not. They can see it. Mark Milley is a horrible sign of that. And I feel like a dissolution of the union would be preferable to this nonsense.
Well, one, China's not worried about their diversity.
Uh-huh.
So maybe
they are. That's why they banned all the LGBT accounts on WeChat.
Oh, right.
Yeah, literally overnight. He's like, get rid of them all. We don't want that diversity stuff in China.
Yeah.
You guys know about John Titor? Titor? What is it? Titor?
No, that name Titor. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it
though.
Does sound familiar.
It's probably a hoax. It was an old early internet thing where this guy claimed to be from the future.
Oh, yeah.
And there were some really interesting things about what he was saying. And a lot of people were like, wow, the things this person is saying sounds like, you know, they're a really smart person. At the very least, someone was like, this has got to be like an MIT engineer who has access to like serious academic records to pull off this hoax, or a team of people. Or maybe he was really a time traveler.
That's more likely.
Well, it doesn't really matter. It's probably a hoax because, I mean, you know, look, what's the easiest solution? Someone went on the internet and lied. Hey, that happens all the time.
Huh.
But anyway, I bring it up just because when this was going on, I think it was like the late 90s, early 2000s, John Teeter was posting on forums claiming that the U.S. was going to fall apart in the like early aughts or whatever, and said like Canada would take the northern Midwest areas, the East Coast would join Europe, the West Coast would join China, and the yep. southern states would go to like Mexico or whatever. Mm-hmm. And starting to seem more and more plausible, isn't it?
I gotta get off the East Coast.
Yeah.
But to your point, I think I would be cool if we like balkanized or whatever. Like I grew up like hunting, fishing, shooting. I know how to do all that. I could wrestling. Survive. I think wrestling.
Perfect.
Got the self-defense going on. I think I'd be
suplex
okay.
a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
You know, one problem.
I could.
One problem with the Balkans is it's been basically the butt of military ravage for like 2,000 years. I mean, that area of the world, because it's been splintered for so long, is just constantly overrun, conquered. People are murdered, genocide. I mean, just tragedy in the Balkans. So,
war.
Because they don't have a strong, unified force.
Yeah.
There were periods where they did, like the Byzantine Empire, but it's kind of sad. You know? So the power of our states, yeah, the federal government is so important. Because if we didn't have coordinated military between states, we would just been picked apart.
This military?
Dude, this Roman stuff, man, it's freaky.
I know.
Like the parallels to the Roman Empire. Dude.
So how would you support a very decentralized federal government that, you know, bare bones, it protects your rights, it protects, you know, our nation's security, but, you know, the states are kind of separate, do what they want to
do. Oh, yeah. I'd love to build an app where you could vote on local issues, like a Tinder-style app where you could be like, hey, everyone, this is Ian Crossland. I want to put a fountain on Main Street. It's going to cost $40,000. Vote for this project.
Terrible idea.
You go through, and then if you like that, you can swipe right, add it to your list of things you want to put your tax dollars for
yeah,
locally.
Yeah, that wouldn't be hacked at all.
Terrible idea.
I don't think so. You,
absolutely.
You want to decentralize and localize governance, basically.
During Occupy Wall Street.
I don't know about the app portion of it.
During Occupy Wall Street, when someone goes, I think we should get bins for the yeah. sanitation crew, then someone was like, that's a good idea. I'm going to propose that our bins are fair trade. And then someone was like, yeah, but they got to be recycled too. And they went, uh-huh. okay. So we all agree, fair trade, recycled bins. Go find them. It was ridiculous. The stupidest thing. You couldn't find those. They didn't. They did. They went to Walmart. They were like, everyone agreed. And then they went to the store and said, we can't find it. Just buy the ones from
so
Walmart.
So if they were like, vote for this fountain, and everyone was like, yeah, and they put all this money towards it and they didn't know how to build the fountain, that's a problem. So you'd have to be able to follow through with your plan. Have an
I'll tell you exactly what would happen.
Go.
I've learned the wonders of septic leach fields only in the past year, because I never had a septic system before.
Right.
But I can tell you exactly what will happen when a bunch of people who know nothing about anything show up and they go, hey, look, a big empty field. I propose we build a building on it. I vote. Everyone goes, yay, we vote. And then the one guy comes out and goes, guys, that's the leach field for the 1,000-gallon septic tank. You can't build on it. And they go, we voted. We passed the resolution. Out of our way. And then they build on a septic leach field
and then they die.
Well, then I don't.
Well, that's why you have governors. You have governors and mayors to like stop stupid behavior. You know, but
so you mean elected representatives to
yeah,
be like,
yeah, you still
hey,
have
you
them, but rather than like rely on an external person to come build that building for you, you could like locally.
Here's what would happen, dude. People would vote for the building. Then someone would say, look, that's a leach field. We have a regulation barring the building of that. And someone would go, I propose we get rid of that regulation. Ah, and they'll vote to get rid of it because people want to make money. And it's not easy to govern.
So
direct democracy does not work.
If a bunch of people voted for the building on the leach field, and it was all these people voted for it, so it was ready to go, and then all of a sudden they found out it can't happen, it would be removed from your list.
By who?
By the governor, basically. Yeah, by the governor.
So the governor. That means
the mayor,
any point.
Or the governor.
At any point, the mayor could be like, I do not want this civil rights bill deleted. I'm the smart one.
Well, if it violated some sort of standard, yeah.
What standard? By who? Who sets the standard?
The leach field.
Who sets the standard?
Well, the people do, through the governance.
Great. So when the mayor says you can't build on the leach field, like I said, they'll go, we vote to say you can. So the mayor is pointless at that point.
I'm not saying direct democracy overrule things. I'm just saying a way for us to pool funds locally.
Mm. Yeah. Do you ever look at a topographical map of Manhattan? You can actually see in the skyscrapers where the bedrock is. It's fascinating.
Oh. Well, what do you mean?
They can only build the skyscrapers on bedrock.
Wow.
They can't build it on the dirt. It sinks. That's why there's a lot of cities where you're like, I wonder why they don't build skyscrapers here. Bro, it's a swamp.
Huh.
Like DC is a swamp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like literally a swamp. So it's hard to build massive buildings because they sink. Manhattan is a big rock. so that they can build and they can carve holes and do subways. It's actually, you know, fairly easy, but there's like a line because there are some areas that are, you know, dirt and mud and stuff. Regular people don't know these things. So they're like, I propose we build a building sideways. And then you're like, that you can't, we shouldn't do that. I'm going to do it anyway. And then everyone's like, yay, sideways building. Woohoo. And then construction crew goes, hey, we're getting paid. Going to go build the sideways building. And then they start building it. No, and then they just.
No, you definitely need checks and balances. Mm-hmm. But I can't stand that, like, people in upper echelons of government are deciding what gets built where. And I don't have, like, an opportunity to input.
Yeah.
Like a convenient way to input.
What if, and just bear with me here, what if I pulled up on my app and I wrote, let's bomb Cuba.
Oh my gosh.
And then swiped right in your hypothetical government.
That's not a local thing.
And everyone said, yes, we vote to bomb Cuba, like this story from Newsweek. Yes, did you enjoy my segue there?
Yeah, it's good.
I loved it.
Bombing Cuba, an option that needs to be discussed, says Miami mayor. No.
What?
Get that guy out of there. We don't want to bomb Cuba.
They just said discuss.
I mean, but
give
like
a chance, hear him out.
I don't think we should discuss bombing Cuba.
Seed bomb? Right.
Like airstrikes on Cuba.
Who is this crazy person?
All right, look. People are protesting in Cuba and they're yelling, I think they're yelling what? Libertad. Liberty. Mm-hmm. Freedom. Based. And down with dictatorship and things like that. And then, you know, the mainstream media is like, people are upset about COVID in Cuba.
Anti-government slogans.
The pro communist people. Mm-hmm. And, the Cuban authorities have been, I guess, locking people up. They blocked the internet. We got this from VOA. Cuban authorities block access to the internet in response to protests. My favorite aspect of the story is when Brian Seltzer of CNN tweeted out this quote where he's like, restricting access to the internet is a move of dictators. And I'm like, what does that say about Joe Biden and Jack Dorsey and Facebook and you? Because he's the one who's gone on and said, don't listen to Fox News and, you know, been a defender of banning and regulating speech on these platforms. So what does it say about all these people? But yeah, anyway, look, people of Cuba, they're fighting back. I don't think we should go bombing them, though. But
bomb who? Why? What is this?
The communists, bro.
Who are those? What does that even mean? The president of Cuba?
The Communist Party of Cuba? What do you mean?
So like this guy wants to bomb the sitting government of Cuba?
They all localized in one communist building, or how do you go about that?
Seems tricky.
Yeah, the U.S. is like, we're going to surrender and convene a meeting of all the great Communist Party leaders in this one building right here.
Yeah, this time.
And they're like, okay, and then.
Yeah.
Look at this. This is funny. In an interview on with Fox News, this is Francis Suarez noted a brief history of U.S. involvement in overturning foreign leaders. His history mentioned the U.S. airstrikes in Kosovo during the 1999 humanitarian crisis. Are you suggesting airstrikes in Cuba? Fox News anchor Martha McCallum asked, What I'm suggesting is that option is one that has to be explored and cannot be just simply discarded as an option that is not on the table. Suarez answered.
What?
And there's a variety of ways the military can do it. Ooh. Wow.
Please expand on those ways. Yeah. I'm curious.
I gotta say though, I'm curious because like a lot of people in Miami are Cuban and are protesting in support of the Cubans. But I think an airstrike on Cuba would kill civilians, you know? Eh.
You get those little drones that are explosive, and you fly them through windows.
That's crazy. They have those, dude.
That's the next
thing. I warned about that back in the day because we were working on – I was working on this university drone program. I actually went and chose the first drone test site for the government program on, like, how to do the research. And I was like – before it started, I was talking to a bunch of, like, government people and academics because I had done this drone research. And they were like, we need to get a better understanding of what drones mean. And I was like – the drone that we've seen can carry like a kilogram. What happens if that drone carries an explosive? How will you stop it? And they were just like stone faced, like, it's here now. The technology exists. And they were just like, maybe we should regulate these things.
Dude, they're going to make, have you heard of smart dust? They're going to make drones that are so
smart
small.
Dust?
Smart dust is like, yeah, Ben Stewart was talking about it. It's in the roads in Denver.
What?
Apparently it's like, they're mini sensors, like dust sensors that are as small as dust. Yeah. But they're going to make drones that size. They can like fly into your inner ear, into your brain.
I don't know about all that stuff.
Yeah, but it's too crazy for reality. I know.
They do have very small
drones
that can fly like insects. There was a Kickstarter once.
Yeah, Black Mirror.
There was a Kickstarter for them once. They're really, really cool. The remote control, they just flap really weakly and fly for a little bit.
What was that crazy drone movie? It was like 10 minutes long. Murder Drones or something it was called. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Oh, you got to see it if you haven't.
Murder
it's a YouTube
drones.
Video. It's on YouTube.
Murder drones.
Yeah, and it's this like dystopian. This guy's building drones like Amazon or whatever. He's like, we're going to transport all your. We have drones everywhere to transport. And then the drones go haywire, and they start patrolling the city all day, every day. Drones flying above, murdering, shooting at anyone. So people are basically running from building to building.
It's like a Black Mirror episode.
And trying to live. Yeah,
yeah, literally
it's
with the bees.
Yeah,
right?
The bees.
No,
one.
Not the bees. The dog ones.
Oh.
It's similar, man.
Yeah, the dogs were running around hunting people down, the robot dogs.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, me neither. They had an episode where there was these bee drones that would like burrow into your
bees
brain.
Died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, bees died, so they replaced pollen bees with robo bees, and the robo bees went nuts. I don't know what that has to do with bombing Cuba, though.
It's the 21st century bombs. It's like tiny little drone bombs.
Yeah, dude. I wonder if they have like antimatter bombs yet. Mm. Yeah, I was reading about antimatter bombs because like, when antimatter comes into contact with matter, it has a 100% energy release. So it's extremely expensive to produce and contain antimatter. Because if it comes into contact with matter, it, you know, boom. It,
how do
it,
you
like,
contain
explodes.
That?
They put it in a magnetic ring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's contained, spinning around really fast.
Gotcha.
And so to make a device that could utilize that, that'd be crazy.
I'm too low IQ for this conversation. I don't know what's going on.
Is really, that... really powerful explosives.
Yeah.
Put it mildly.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
Yeah. Really expensive to produce at this point. Like, I'm talking trillions
like
of dollars.
Like a proton and a negatron. I think negatrons aren't real yet, but we got a coin negatron. And electrons and positrons. The positron's real, but the proton and the negatron.
What is a negative proton called?
I don't know.
Let's find out.
Negatron, right?
Antiproton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Negatron's better.
That's cooler. Yeah,
negatron.
I agree.
Way
yeah.
cooler.
Positron. Yeah, but a proton, what is that a positron?
The positron's an anti-electron is a positron.
Oh, right, 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 right. Okay.
Like a proton and negatron, dude.
So this is not very political anymore.
No, this is a great conversation, though. I want to talk about, we might go into this more, since you're a wrestler, and we talked about trans women in wrestling.
Well,
we might go into this on the app.
About that. It's funny because like we end up talking about a lot of that stuff in the Members Only podcast because that's the stuff YouTube bans you for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll go deep.
YouTube outright just like this, the segment we did yesterday with Colonel West. Oof. Like I was mad. Like this is dark stuff that's happening.
People were commenting that too. They were like, "This is a dark episode."
I know it was horrifying what they're doing to people.
Watch that.
But we will talk about that. I suppose for now we're mostly focused on like whether or not we blow up Cuba.
Yeah. So
and
we're just discussing it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people right now. I imagine people like John Bolton are sitting there like. Bomb Cuba?
My stocks? Checking his Robin Hood.
Raytheon just...
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Raytheon got woke. Did you guys see that?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Raytheon got woke and
I
had like
a
white...
I knew they did like a Pride Month thing.
Oh,
right?
No. They had like a white privilege training thing.
Even better.
I'm kind of okay with that. Like, I think about these companies or like the Navy getting woke and I'm like, no. This is bad. This is bad. You know, get woke, go broke. And then the Federal Reserve gets woke and I'm like... Maybe I'm okay with this. And then like Raytheon, I'm like, do I support this now? Like it's gutting these institutions from the inside out and they're being disintegrated.
Yes.
No, because it's fire. Yes. You know what I mean? And you might have like Schadenfreude when you're watching fire engulf like some, you know,
your
some enemy
house.
Or something, but that fire spreads.
It's still fun to be an accelerationist sometimes and just watch it burn. From afar.
Sometimes.
But it's you don't even need to be an accelerationist anymore. I mean, the stuff the Navy, look at those videos of the U.S. soldiers surrendering to Iran. And if that doesn't make your blood boil.
What was that, the whole process? I didn't see that.
There were a couple of boats. They got surrounded. The U.S. surrendered.
They were like in Iranian waters or something?
I don't remember the exact details. But
I think I might have heard about that.
The U.S. surrendered a couple small ships. And U.S. soldiers are on their knees with their hands on their heads.
So what happened to the soldiers?
Oh, they got released.
Okay.
Yeah, they got released by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. But it's amazing when we prioritize wokeness, our own Navy, our Army.
So what you're saying is that we could technically bomb Cuba, but we're not going to be able to because we're super woke now and the military is completely ineffectual.
Oh, wow. Could you imagine?
That's the only reason we don't bomb Cuba. We have a lot of other issues.
Yeah. I'm just imagining that plane with the rainbow flag on it and Black Lives Matter in the front dropping rainbow bombs.
And the little Middle Eastern children are like, yeah.
Oh,
diversity.
Yeah.
Well, they're Cubans now. So,
oh, right.
You know.
Well, yeah, still brown.
You could probably put like little prism shards in the explosive so that when it blows up, it's not red.
Sparkly.
It just looks like a rainbow.
Yeah. Glitter?
Oh, yeah.
We've added 1,000 pounds of glitter to our ordnance.
I think this guy, this Floridian guy, is espousing rhetoric, political rhetoric of nothing's off the table. Mm-hmm. You know, they say this stupid stuff like nukes are not off the table in regards to Cuba. My neighbor is keeping me up at 2 a.m. with his rooster. Nukes are not off the table.
Technically correct.
But because they're not. That's the point of the military is you don't want to take that stuff up. But then why wouldn't you just come out and be like, no, nukes are off the table, but secretly they're not off the table. Like, that's better.
Right. Nukes are never off the table. Bombs are never off the table.
Yeah.
But I don't see what's to gain by actually intervening with Cuba. I don't like communism, you know, but I just think the U.S. it's probably good for the military industrial complex because they'll be like, oh, we can screw up the United States and then create another massive crisis where we'll get funding from the government forever. Let's do it.
Seize Cuba and then install a central bank there.
Yeah. No, they'd probably just blow up half of it and then try nation building
for 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Although Cuba is really close to the U.S., so
make it a state.
It's not going to be the same as could you imagine? We got Guantanamo Bay already.
Yeah,
Cuba, the 51st state. Puerto Rico doesn't cut it.
We have an American military base in Cuba.
Yeah, and they hate us. They're like, get out of here.
That's so weird.
There's a McDonald's there.
They the Spanish American War, 1898, I think it was when the Spanish Empire was controlling Cuba, and America was like, we're going to liberate Cuba, so they did. And then Cuba was free, and then Castro came in and took control. So if we were going to liberate it again, what do we do after that?
Because wasn't it like him and Che? And Castro was like, hey, Che, check this out. I'm going to enslave all these people. And Che was like, you won't do it, man. He's like, you want to bet? And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. And then he did it.
They were smoking, he was smoking a cigar.
Yeah, probably.
That's exactly. And then Che was like, you know how you, and then Che was like, yo, guess who I don't like? And then Fidel Castro laughed, and he was like, Che, you don't like brown people. And then Che was like, that's right.
Shay was like, oh, your super, brother
he wasn't
sucks.
He super racist?
Yeah. Super yeah. homophobic,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot.
Yeah. Is communists tend to be? Like, wasn't Marx?
I think Che Guevara was, too. He was racist.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know about Marx.
Too. Yeah, Marx was.
Marx was definitely I'm pretty sure Marx was super racist.
Yeah,
was.
Yeah, that's why they
it's
didn't like
theme.
It.
Common theme,
yeah.
Yeah, even the critical race theorists are racist, so there's like a thing about these leftists that they just really like being racist.
I think they're projecting, like especially the white liberals who are like, oh, white people are racist, you have to atone for your racism, you have to admit to your racism, and then everyone's looking at them like they're a weirdo, like, what are you talking about? I'm not a racist, and they're like, yes, you are, because I am, and I feel bad about it, yeah. and I have to apologize for it. Like, no, you know. Go to therapy. Don't project on everybody else. Not all white people are racist.
I do love that they're like, yes, you are because I am. It's like that. Okay. Thank you for admitting that. But
I'm going to leave now.
These are my racist glasses. I see racism everywhere. Yep, that's yep. if you're racist, that lens is gonna make you see it when you look outside.
So at a certain point, are we going to be like Tony Shalhoub in Galaxy Quest, just laughing at the absurdity of about how we're about to blow up or something? You guys seen that movie?
No, not me, man.
Yeah, although, have you seen Galaxy Quest?
Part of it.
You, what?
I thought it was going to be awesome. I was like, it's going to be the greatest genre, sci-fi, one of the greatest genres.
No,
it's got Sigourney Weaver, Tim Allen. It's got
Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub. And then what's the guy who played Snape?
Oh, it's
Alan Rickman.
Sam Rockwell.
Rockwell's,
oh, yeah. That's a great cast. And the movie's fantastic.
Cast.
But anyway, they end up in the spaceship and they're just actors. And so they're like freaking out. But Tony Shalhoub's character is like, all right, man, I guess, like, whatever.
Laugh or cry.
Like, they're about to get blown up and he's just laughing like, yeah, laugh or cry, man. Like, at a certain point, I just kick my feet back and be like, bro, I got chickens.
Actually,
we got space. We got tomatoes. Bro, we harvested the carrots. We got like 10 pounds of carrots, dude. I can't even eat all these. What am I supposed to do with carrots?
Cook carrots.
I don't even know I grew that many.
It's going to be good. Carrot stew. It goes good in stew.
We'll make juice, cake. We got jalapenos.
I was having last night. I don't know how you guys feel. I was having kind of a nihilistic night last night. Do you guys go through this where kind of like you're saying, just laugh at all the chaos? I'm like, well, let's just get what I can out of this before it's all over.
That's what our leaders have been doing for the past 20 years.
For probably thousands. Well,
not
a long time.
America was functioning. We rallied against the Nazis in World War II.
Yeah.
We had drive during all the horrible interventions we did, right? With Vietnam and Korea, there was still this American elite being like, we're going to go to war because we're better than you. Now it's just like, oh, the system's broke. I'm going to steal as much silverware as possible before the house burns down. Yeah, we talked about this before. It's like that Titanic's going down, and they're running room to room grabbing stuff before they jump on the life raft before everybody else.
I know we can fix the system. Like, we could build a software, like a, you know, decentralized, powered system that's powered by, like, vacuum energy or, like, fusion energy localized that where people can communicate uncensored. But I don't know if the human consciousness is able to do it. Like, I don't know if humans are just too
too busted as an animal that we can't function, you know, sociologically at scale. I wonder about that. I know we can build the technology.
Got to get that Neuralink, bro. Mm-hmm. Got to integrate. Resistance is futile.
That's right.
What's that going to do, though? Make then me hear your crazy thoughts? Then
everyone will just be in the Borg, man. No, because everybody will just be the Borg.
Will it make the craziest person make everyone else crazy, or yes. will it make the calmest person make everyone else calm?
Everyone will get crazy. That's what I was explaining, right? In Star Trek, the Borg was working in unison towards a goal of assimilating more technology and expanding and whatever. But the reality is, if you assimilate, if you've got 10 people and 6 of them are psychotic leftists and you assimilate everybody, the collective just becomes psychotically left. It won't function properly. It'll just spaz out and accuse everyone of racism and then collapse on
itself. If you had like 9 crazy racists and then a 10th like really calm Zen Buddha master joined, would it make the other 9 very calm? No. Or would it turn the Buddha master racist?
The Buddha master wouldn't necessarily become racist, but if they all function in line with the collective, they would all move towards the crazy racism.
So the Buddha master would be like, oh, I'm having crazy thoughts, but he keeps dispensing his thoughts, having no thought, and then eventually the crazy people start to have less and less thoughts?
That's not how the Borg works.
How do you know?
Because I watched Star Trek.
You've never been in the Borg, Tim.
They look at Picard when he became the Borg. They talk all about it. 7 of 9 talks about it.
But I'm saying
they lose their control. Their voice becomes one with the collective, and they all function towards the collective goal. Of course, there was the Borg Queen who secretly was manipulating the collective. That's communism. I mean, that's exactly what you can expect to happen.
So
right?
If there was no Queen, I wonder. I wonder if you would, as a strong mind, be able to warp the collective to bend to your will, so to speak. For the good of humanity, whatever.
Well,
that means.
I think there's like a, I think there's something like that in Marvel with like Dr. Doom.
That guy's got
like an iron will.
He's like a villain, but he's my favorite. He's almost like a hero.
Anti-hero.
Almost like a hero.
Yeah.
Anti-hero.
What was it? He used to be part of the. He was with them on the ship, the Fantastic Four, when they went into space, and then he got what power? Did he? What power?
Yeah,
did
he got
get?
Like I don't know, what, like lightning power or something. I don't know.
And like he wants to. Not destroy humanity. What is his goal?
Save humanity.
So he wants to save humanity.
Yeah, he's a communist dictator, basically. He's an authoritarian dictator who thinks that humanity will only survive if he is the one who is in charge. Yeah. And there's like this famous comic where he's like confronted by this great panther spirit or whatever. And then he's like, I have seen 1,000 futures or whatever. And in each and every one, humanity is destroyed. The only future I've seen where humanity survives is when I'm in charge. And then like this spirit finds that he's like pure of heart. Like he actually means it.
I like him.
Let's read some super chats. If you haven't already, smash that like button, please. And subscribe to this channel. Share the show with your friends. Hit that notification bell, which apparently doesn't do anything anyway, because it helps, I guess. Sure. And go to timcast.com. Become a member. We're going to have a bonus members-only podcast coming up just after the show, around 11 or so p.m. So make sure you check that out. And let's read some of these super chats. All right. Let's see. All right. What is this? Gemcast DCL says... Is Tim, 18 U.S. Code 241, conspiracy against rights? I think this is a good attack vector for the free speech or any other rights argument. You should look into it.
I will look into it.
Mediocre Fisherman says, if you can pick 2 political figures to run in 2024, who would it be? Well, I don't know who Dave Smith's VP is going to be, but I am really, really looking forward to a Michael Malice press secretary for the Libertarian Party. Mm. That is going to be the greatest thing ever. I mean, it would just be like, wow.
That'd be supreme. Mm-hmm. I would vote for that so fast.
I would love to just go back to like 14-year-old Tim and like sit down and be like, listen, in 2024, this guy named Michael Malice will be the press secretary for a libertarian candidate. And it's going to be glorious. And then just like show like a clip of Michael Malice and the things he says and then get my younger self all excited for just the shenanigans. The epic trolling of the establishment machine.
One single interaction with Michael Malice and it was so hilarious. It was so strange. I was at a CPAC after party last year, like literally the last night before COVID, like shut everything down. And he shows up fashionably late. And I knew who he was, but like he definitely looked familiar to me. And someone was like, oh, that's Michael Malice. I was like, oh, like I definitely follow that guy on Twitter. And he comes up to me and he's like, I love your hair. Is that racist to say? I don't care. I love your hair. And it had like this long twist. And I was like, no, it's not racist. Thank you. And that was it.
That sounds like him.
That does sound like him. I love it.
All right. We got Colonel Jack O'Neill here, who's taking his break from his Stargate missions. Oh. And he says, Ian, I love you, but sometimes you say something so insane, I want to slap you until your eyeballs switch places.
You probably feel better if you were here. I'll try and like air out weird ideas and thoughts, and sometimes they come out incomplete. maybe is a little frustrating to listen to.
I can try and read that as Richard Dean Anderson. Right. Ian, I love you, but sometimes you say something so insane, I want to slap you.
There's like
slow until your eyeballs
music
switch places.
In the background surging right now as he's saying it.
Dude, they do like 3 episodes of SG-1 every day now. It was 2 episodes at first. Now it's 3, and I'm like, I can't keep up with this.
Wow.
I'm jumping episodes. I got to keep track of what's going on. It's a good show, by the way. I love SG-1. It's fantastic. All right. Silver Kestrel says, not surprised with the Navy getting woke. This happened during the Spanish Civil War of the 1930s. Their Navy overwhelmingly broke for the leftist Republican forces. Wow. Could you imagine that?
If
the Navy becomes overwhelmingly woke and then they just like basically defect.
That's going to happen.
To some degree.
Will it happen? Would that?
I don't know.
It has happened in the past.
But what's happening now is unique. You know, and it's not the same. Yeah, there's similarities, but sure. We don't know what's going to happen.
Good to see it.
All right. Lamb says, I want to shout out James Lindsay's new Discourses channel podcast. The near 4-hour episode on Hegel, wokeness, and the dialectical faith of leftism is brilliant and very eye-opening. Absolutely. James Lindsay is a smart fella. All right. Let's see. Tanner Hine says, have you seen Gavin Newsom's campaign ads claiming the same Republicans who refused to accept the election results are back again to smear him and waste taxpayer money on recalling him? Ah, projection. Yeah, it's funny because it's not just Republicans that want to recall Newsom. It's a lot of people who are Democrats. A lot of Democrats are fleeing the state because of that guy. Yeah, well. All right, let's see. James Cood says, Texan here. Some Democrats just simply don't care and run to Daddy Biden when it's rough. You were elected. Do your job. Servant leadership needed. Yeah, the Democrats in Texas are supposed to be like, oh, I'm here to vote for my people. And if we don't win because we're in the minority position, like at a certain point, you recognize what democracy, a democratic republic is supposed to be, or a constitutional republic with democratic institutions, to put it more specifically. Okay. Keith McCracken says, Ian, stop with your powerful thought energy. You're disturbing the camera.
Keith.
Now, I got to stress this, right? So Ian's camera froze from a random frame from last night, which is weird because the show ends. Like,
that's the second time it's happened.
Oh, yeah. More than that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Usually we just restart ops.
What is
Yeah. Usually
going
we
on?
Catch it.
Yeah.
But it's weird that it's an image of you from last night's show, but the show went on like normal and then ends. Mm-hmm. Then it just randomly pulls up this image and
like,
freezes it there.
That picture.
Do you think people are capable of like interacting with electricity?
Yeah, you're too powerful.
I think that's it.
Have you ever had that where you shut a light just like?
Well, it's never happened to me, but clearly you were gifted.
It's not intentional. I think it's the psychedelics.
Do you think? Do you think we'll get copyright strike? We'll get a copyright strike if I play music on my phone?
It depends on the song, I guess.
Yeah, because I was going to play the song. Because somebody, well, I just got an iPhone, and it's got this thing. But somebody was like, Jimmy Kinto says, will we get more songs like Will of the People? Yes, because I got this epic new app. Can you hear that?
There it goes, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's good.
He's been playing with it.
If you sing it, oh, actually, I think that song's public domain. House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah,
it is. Let me look.
Yeah, I think that's public domain. It's like a really old folk song.
I like that song.
It's a good song.
Those are good. Yeah, but we're gonna get more songs. We're trying to hire a composer. Like, we need somebody whose job it will be to just sit around all day making beats and tracks and music, kind of like ambient hip hop, rock, indie style, just a mix. Because we need to use the music for our shows, for the podcasts, and then we can take some of the songs and turn them into full songs. So we literally need someone who like just sits around making music all day, and we could hire them and have them just sit in a room and make music all day.
I've been watching a lot of Beatles lately, and man, something that music desperately needs right now is that ooh wah wah ooh ya ya la 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 la.
Ian, it doesn't need that.
It does.
we've had ball with the ball, and we've had mbop, and we've had zigga zigga.
But what we need is like a solid melody through line story, like what you're saying with Will the People, but with that like la la yeah in the background, like we need more of that doo-wop in rock.
Why do we need that?
I'm telling you, that's what made the Beatles great.
All right, let's see. Eli says, Ed Calderon worked in the fields of counter narcotics, organized crime investigation and public safety in the northern border region of Mexico. A U.S. citizen now and can definitely confirm what Alan West said. Please get him on if you can. Love the show.
Oh, Ed's manifesto. He's great. Is that what it is? Follow him on Instagram, yeah.
Rick Resler says, donation for Tim's wardrobe. Sunglasses, 100. Thumbs up and crying laughing face. what's wrong with my wardrobe? I have a hat, a shirt, shirt and
you
pants.
Have clothes.
Yeah.
I don't know what
you can't
want.
Even tell what kind of pants I'm wearing.
One of these, right. One night, Tim's going to wear the craziest outfit.
Well, I do have the black shirt and the gray shirt, but I don't really wear that much.
You need
anymore.
Like a crown and like just a crazy flamboyant robe with like
purple
shoulders.
Velvet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prince style.
Like a Friday night or something.
All right. Let's see. Some people are asking if I'm familiar with Robert Barnes and Viva Frey's show. I am familiar with their show. Absolutely. All right. Connor O'Brien says, let's see. Okay. Maybe I can't read that one. Sorry, Connor. I don't know what it's about, but YouTube's very censorious, so I'll have to walk away from that one. Eric A says, have you been following China's actions in South America? They built a space base in Argentina. China increasing ties there is worrying. Argentina is part of the lithium triangle, where over 50% of mineable lithium is. Yes, China was trying to build something called the Nicaraguan Canal. You know about this story?
No.
Panama Canal. Very powerful because we have a shipping lane that goes through the Americas. So China was like, we'll just build one through Nicaragua. How much will that cost? Can we do it? Yes. It would have destroyed this massive freshwater aquifer, and it was going to just cause a lot of people to have no water. And the project got scrapped. But it was going to cut through Nicaragua, which is like substantially longer than Panama.
I was about to ask. Isn't it bigger? For
yep.
Sure, right?
As an okay. FU, as an FU to the Panama Canal. Yep. China is like, yeah. they're not backing down, man. I mean, you know, what they're doing is crazy. All right. John Marafa says two things. One, Texas Dems have done this before, fleeing to Oklahoma some years ago. Two, when these guys fly back from DC, I hope their plane drops out of the sky. No, we don't want that. We want their plane to land safely because you want to see a perp walk. This is the important thing about justice. You need to have them in a court of law, pay the penalty so that everybody knows and sees it's legitimate and they've paid their, like they're being held accountable through a legitimate process. That's why we had the Nuremberg trials. We said we're going to put these people down. We're going to show everybody the evidence and we're going to prove it in a court. You got to make sure that happens to these people. They got to get arrested. They land, they broke the law, they get arrested. There you go. All right. J-Mac says, some elites are fighting back. There was some businessman who helped fund South Dakota's National Guard being sent to help with border security. Hell, I give super chats to those I feel with a good platform. People are fighting money with money. Anyways, keep it the good work. Castine, thank you very much. Yeah, we need people to donate to, you know, Republicans in cities. I mean, imagine this. You get someone like AOC who's got a powerful media platform, but she didn't when she started. When she ran for the first time, there was no actual Republican candidate. I mean, there like literally was, but like not really. Apparently the dude didn't even have a website. Mm-hmm. How are you supposed, they're like, oh, we can't win there because it's too Democrat.
Republicans give up.
You didn't even try, dude. Did Republicans not even try. Yeah. Democrats certainly try to get young people in red areas. Certainly. Republicans just give up though. Yeah. That's the reality. Oliver Moreland says, we just protested our school board in Rochester, MN, for these far left teachings. We had some good speakers and I got footage that I'll edit tonight. We all need to rise together against this insanity. That's for sure. A. Muzed says, to the Lord of the Rings analog, the elites view the people, aka the rabble, as the orcs. Yeah, who's the Eye of Sauron then?
I don't know.
If the rabble, the people.
Dave Rubin?
Orcs. No, I don't think.
No. First,
right.
No.
Who's?
Doesn't check out.
It would be like a populist. It'd be Donald Trump, right?
Trump? Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
The Eye of Trump. All right, let's see. TRD has a great super chat, and I can't read it because I can't read it. I'll get YouTube says you can't say these things. So I can appreciate that you sent the super chat in, but I can't read what it says. But he does say salty army is legion, and the salt must flow. That part I can read. The rest I can't. Mm-hmm. Smokes says, Michael Malice Anarchist Handbook inspired me to break the first rule of Super Chat in making a guest suggestion. Please consider inviting my friend Pedro Delfino to the compound. He skates for Death Wish. It would leave me speechless. Ah, I see where... No, he put speak. Maybe I'm not familiar with Pedro Delfino. Are you saying we should have him skate at the skate park? That would be very great. We invite a ton of people to come out here. We had this one dude do a backflip on a scooter. Off of like this little bump ramp. That's it was dope. Crazy. Yeah. And he got like mad air. It was so cool.
I've never
it was legit.
Skated in my life. So.
Oh, yeah. It's mad fun. Rollerblade?
Yeah. Do you rollerblade back in the day with it?
I have never. Oh, I had Heelys.
Heelys are cool.
That's closest we get.
You don't know what Heelys are? They were, like, such a craze in, like, the early 2000s. It's literally, like, a sneaker with, like, a big fat wheel in the back of the shoe, and you just skate around your heels.
Oh, you've never seen a Heely?
No.
That sounds you'll see a kid, like, just, like, gliding on his shoes.
Yeah,
awesome.
I used to run to the mall. Yeah.
All right. Surprise Mechanic says, Air Force vet here. One of my flight instructors flew Hillary when she was Secretary of State. She walked on the flight deck right after he ripped the nasty fart. She was disgusted and slammed the door. Okay.
Beautiful.
J-Mac says, some guy is complaining about me giving you guys super chats, even though I explained why I do. Poor guy doesn't know I also give you guys money directly. Oh, well, keep up the good work. Please, please, people, keep telling our friends and fans not to donate to us so they donate more.
Yes.
It's the greatest advertising campaign. Hey, you should give them money. Well, I'll give them more money. Oh, no. Yeah. All right. Let's see. We got Josh Martinez said, this may be my last super chat. They're going door to door and confiscating our Legos. We have formed a militia, and we will resist.
Legos,
you know why they have to confiscate the Legos? See, back in the day, I mentioned the ninjas, remember? The ninjas would be, like, they would assassinate a feudal lord, and as they're running, they would have these Japanese caltrops.
Oh, I see where it's going.
But they would serrate the metal so they could dip poison in it, and the grooves would hold poison, and so when you stepped on it, not only did you get spiked by the caltrop, but you got poisoned. Ooh. Well, today's day and age, we have more advanced weaponry and technology. So now when the ninjas are running, they need only throw Legos on the ground.
Yep.
And then everyone's stepping on the Legos. Ah!
Poisoned Legos. Perfect.
Not even poison, no. Just Legos. Straight just up sharp. Stepping on the Legos and you fall over. Ah! Even through the shoe, it's like one guy's got like a giant Lego just through his foot and he's like, help me! And they're like, I can't! And that's why they're like, we better confiscate these Legos.
Yeah, it's true.
That would make more sense than the real reason.
Yeah.
The ultimate caltrop. That would be a funny sketch as well. Like there's just Legos, but like they're in the foot, like, and there's like Legos sticking out all over, like they went through his flesh, and he's like, Lego caltrops, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's see where we're at. Dano says, breaking news, Imperial forces found a Lego Death Star set on Tatooine in the former home of Luke Skywalker. Emperor Palpatine outraged. Trude it on a Shabbat of pressure. Dark side. There you go.
Beautiful.
All right. Phoenix Ammunition says, Olivia better remember to bring her singlet to the Solutionary Summit. We've got business to handle. What is that?
Heck yeah. Oh, are you guys familiar with Maj Touré? Black Ops?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, he throws this annual Solutionary Summit. I was a speaker last year. This year, it's in Miami, and I told a bunch of people I Twitter beef with that I will wrestle them if they see me IRL at the Solutionary Summit.
Nice.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
A good fair match with a nice referee to prove...
Yeah.
Who's right?
That's how I settle Twitter beef.
Yeah, that's a good way to settle.
Yeah, that's the right way to do it. Gentlemanly mutual sporting combat.
That's right.
All right, let's see what we got here. Pin Global News says, hey, Tim and crew, listen to you guys every day at work. I recently started a news commentary channel intertwined with some gaming. Help it makes news a little more easy and fun to watch. Pin Global. Right on, man. Uh-oh. Brett Russell says, second night in a row, Tim mentions ninjas. Check out Stephen Hayes versus SWAT team. They were sneaky and patient. Farmers and shop owners, not Hollywood. Cool stuff. Wow. All right. Keeping America Afloat says, if government is supposed to protect our rights and the big tech companies violate them, wouldn't the government contracting the big tech be treason? Not treason. Obviously, you'd like to be like, hey, that's wrong. You can't do that. But it's actually just more like they're outsourcing violations of the Constitution because the government, I don't think the government is supposed to protect our, I mean, well, maybe they're supposed to protect our rights, but.
In a perfect world.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, government doesn't do that all that much, so I don't know what else to say.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Stonehenge says, will we get Alex Jones part 2 in the future? Technically, we already did.
Part 3,
the first Alex Jones thing we did got pulled down. So we immediately So that's the story, right? YouTube took down our Alex Jones, Michael Malice episode. And then people were like, oh, Tim, you know, they're censoring you. And people were like, Tim's so lame. Like, he's totally letting YouTube walk all over him. Like, the first thing I did after the episode got taken down was I texted Michael and Alex. I was like, guys, can you come back on? Because we got to do it again. We're going to do it again. And I posted the goofy meme. I'll do it again. But they couldn't come right away. So, like, we did it a week later.
We should have Alex back when we have the new studio. Yeah. Have like a group of people. That'd be really fun.
Yeah, I want to get Alex, if he's willing, to come on with someone. And like I was thinking, it'd be really interesting to have people who are in politics and culture, but not in the same areas, have conversations. So like, you know, we had Michael and Alex, and they're in a similar space. You know, it's culture war, it's politics. It'd be interesting to have someone whose focus is on like economics or
Peter
someone.
Peter Schiff.
Maybe. I don't know if he'd want to sit down with Alex Jones.
Like, I would love to see Cenk Uygur and Alex together.
No way.
Oh, I could not.
That would result in a fight.
Yeah that's not going to happen.
But if it didn't, that would be the glimmer of humanity.
I was
the
there.
Hope that I need.
I was there when they were fighting. Yeah, I think that was the DNC when Alex showed up and then he went to the set of the Young Turks. Because it was like the Young Turks were doing a show, but it was an open area in the press area. Yeah. You could just like walk past them and then Alex showed up and he's filming and he's laughing. And then I think Jimmy Dore, was it Jimmy? He spat
that's
on
when
Alex?
He spat, yeah.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, I was there. I was crazy.
So rude.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was there. We were chilling.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know if we do have, should we mention the plan for August?
If you want, yeah.
It's all confirmed and locked in, though?
No, it's not. So, no, don't mention it.
It's not?
No, it's not. I'm waiting for them.
For who?
Okay, so we have some guests that are going to come in August, I hope, but I need to hear back from them, like, details of, like, for booking flights and stuff.
But they both agreed.
They did, yeah, that's true.
It's going to be, like, we're going to do posters for it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be probably stupid to overhype, but, you know, it's going to be like a right and a left, and we're going to come in, and it's going to be, like, a gentlemanly debate.
Indeed.
Yes.
With MMA posters.
All right. So we won't say anything just yet.
Not
but,
yet. Not yet.
Yeah, but we'll announce it once we have everything, you know, locked in.
That's right.
I believe we have a confirmation, a yes, but we need to have, like, flights and hotels and everything.
Yeah, I want receipts.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's see. Rhett Bletcha says, hi, guys. I'm a 25-year-old farmer in Nebraska. I raise my own livestock and food. Kamala's comment on rural Americans is truly a stab in our backs. Every time I go to vote, I have to show my ID or else I cannot participate. Why do people talk down the rural people? So sad. Because city people, they are the well-to-do, good, moral, upstanding citizens who want to help the poor marginalized who don't know anything about them. Imagine that, you know? It's like when someone comes to you and says, would you like to donate to help the poor children? And you give them $20 and they go, thank you so much, and they go buy a cheeseburger with it. Huh. So these people in these cities are like, I'm helping these poor, poor rural people. Nothing you do is helping them. The Democrats
don't care
about
these people. In the cities actually want to help the rural people. They'll help the poor people in the city. But, you know, when Texas was having these like mass power outages, there were plenty of liberal city elitists saying, oh, well, they voted Republican. You know, they're all these backwoods hicks. They voted Republican. They deserve it. They get what's coming for them. Like, they don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't know, but if city people are feeling contempt for country people, I think it's because they think the city people think the country people are cowards because they're not facing other humans.
No, I think that city people look down on country people because they think they're unsophisticated.
Yeah,
they
like their degrees and all that kind of stuff. But who provides your food? You know, who provides your energy?
Yep.
They don't think about that though.
Sats says, if Tim thinks living in a broken nation will be fine because he has chickens, he's obviously never lived in a destabilized country before. Americans have it so good, and it shows when they say asinine comments like this. Or how about, Sats, you greatly underestimate my experience in many parts of the world. I've been to Venezuela. I've been to Egypt, Morocco, Ukraine. I've been to Brazil. I've been to the slums. I've been to the favelas. Yeah, let me just put it in very simple terms. I didn't say life will be better. I said, actually, we'll lose a lot of our luxury. But I'll tell you this, I will be fine. I know I will. I know most conservatives in rural areas probably will be fine. A large portion of them probably will not be fine. City people will be absolutely screwed.
Yeah.
But I'll put it very, very simply. If the country destabilizes, my life will go from fantastic luxury to gutter trash. But guess what? I've been gutter trash. I've been homeless. I'm not scared of being in the middle of the woods and having to figure things out and surviving. That's just the real world. Everything else is just borrowed luxury. It's amazing to me how Americans just live in the absolute of absolute luxury. and you still have these Occupy protests complaining. You still have people demanding the government give them more stuff and they barely work as it is. I've seen people who have no teeth and they're in their 20s because they mine sulfur and other garbage like that. I've been in countries where people live in hollowed out, destroyed buildings. I mean, I've actually been to a bunch of gutter squats in the United States, and I've seen how people live when they have nothing. And I've been to Venezuela, and we got to drive past the Tower of David, I think they call it, where they tried building a skyscraper and it failed, and the company shut down, and now it's just people walking up 100 flights of stairs. Bro, I've seen what destabilized countries look like. And when you live in the middle of nowhere, and you can handle yourself, and you're confident in yourself, and you've prepared, and you have research, and you have resources. I'm not going to pretend like I'm Bear Grylls, and I know how to, you know, I can fight a grizzly bear with my bare hands, but I can tell you this, I am resourceful and capable, and I'm not worried. Will it suck? Yes. Of course it will. I like skateboarding. I like going to the movies. All that goes away. But you know what? I'm a survivor. A lot of other people are, and I'll tell you who is going to truly regret it. It's the city people. Not the country people. There's some dude in a mountain right now who's like just super ripped and like chopping lumber. And he's like, why do I care about those people?
Yep.
Taking care of themselves, chopping the wood because you need the wood for the stove. You got to cook your food, going out hunting. You know what, man? I'm not going to pretend to have half the skill of those people, but I do know that I'm resourceful enough to survive in absolute chaos. All right. Beastie Devil says, if the United States was to fracture into city states or smaller countries, what does it stop other foreign nations take advantage of the divisions and see an easy acquisition of new territory in the states? Which is exactly why we said East Coast goes to Europe, Midwest and Northern states go to Canada, Southern states go to Mexico, and the West Coast goes to China.
Yep.
That was the John Teeter thing, I think, though. So it is what it is, you know? All right, let's see what we got. Let's see. I just saw something and I... Man of Culture says, speaking of comparisons to the Roman Empire, there was a period where they waged offensive wars in the name of security and defense of the empire. Sounds like the neocon Bush doctrine.
Yeah, it was like 400 BC to 600 AD, basically. That wow. The entire history of that country was aggressive war in the name of defense. Because in the very beginning, Rome was conquered and destroyed, and 90% of the people were massacred. So like they had this old consciousness of like, we have to fight, we have to kill our enemies before they destroy us. It wasn't really... It was like 300 BC to 580 or something.
All right, let's see. Charles Dixon says, remember the Bonham Richard, the first warship brought down in American waters by communist infiltration. Brutal. Pete Conrad Jr. says, as a former USMC sergeant, I say whoever was in command of a USN surrender to Iranians should be NJP'd and sent to the brig. P.S. This is Algernon. Will you help me find my daughter, Madison? She watches your show, but I don't know how I can get her my phone number. I don't know either, but perhaps shouting it out will be enough. We'll see, I suppose. All right, let's see. Did I read this one already? Okay, I did read this one already. Don't want to double up. Let's see what we got here. Gohan the Fifth says, Hour of the Times. Thank you for the super chat. Christopher says, make sure Luke knows I saw a squirrel once.
Oh.
You guys should send Luke all of your love. And you can tweet at him and say, Luke, we love you, and follow Luke We Are Change on Twitter. And let him know that, no, Luke, we puke. And every night before the show, we all sit here and recognize that Luke isn't here, and then we all just vomit profusely. And then we got to clean it up, and it's all gross. Over the table. Yeah, it gets gross. In the keyboard. It's like the 12th keyboard we've gone through because we just keep barfing because Luke's not here.
Yeah, it's true.
Also, I think it's funny that people are like saying, no, Luke, I puke, when like Luke and puke don't rhyme.
Yeah.
But then someone said, no, Luke, I duke. And I'm like, all right, well, that actually rhymes.
Better.
Yeah. So.
I don't want that. No, let's not do that.
Gloomflower says, I would love to buy an anti-CRAP t-shirt. It would be so awesome.
Ooh.
That's actually a good idea.
Love it.
Critical race applied principles. We are anti-crap. I don't know. Maybe that's a little too silly.
I like it.
Abe Lee says, the woke ideology in the military is going to lead to World War III. Our enemies will see it as an opportunity to attack. If we don't stop destroying ourselves from within, it will spell war on America's shores. This needs to change now. Yeah, you know, I agree, but unfortunately, it's a rot. You know, the rot has gotten to the core, and now the foundations are falling down.
This is the thing about, similar to the Romans, is if fill in the blank, then we will be attacked. If something something, then we will be attacked. So it's always like, we're on the offense to prevent being attacked. We've created the military-industrial complex to prevent being attacked, because Hitler attacked.
need to attack us.
And the Romans were always afraid of being attacked. And now we are too, it seems like. Maybe that's justifiable. Maybe it's like there is no homeostasis. Either you're the aggressor or the aggressed.
All right.
I would love a homeostasis on this planet.
Dan Ness says, Ian's app idea. What if instead of voting from the app, you put in your zip and get a list of proposed bills by city, state, federal, along with info on who wrote and sponsors the bill and contact information for representatives at each level?
I like that better.
Fantastic.
But that's still the problem there is still that a lot of people who vote don't know or don't care.
That's a good point.
They're like, I'm going to put a mark on the D. I'm going to put a mark on an R, and then they walk out.
And the easier you make it, the easier it is to do that.
Yep. Oh, that's right. Yep. What is that? People are saying Luke is in the chat. Is he?
He is. Yeah. Luke. I saw him.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Luke, everybody's puking. What are you doing? Yeah. Where are
come
you
on,
at?
Man.
Atlas.
That's Luke's dog.
I bet you just went like,
Atlas.
So Luke was supposed to be gone for only a few weeks. What happened?
Uh-huh. We're still waiting.
Lucas G. Mato says Max Kaiser and Alex Jones. Has that ever happened before?
Cool energy.
Has that ever happened before?
No, I don't think so.
That has to have happened before. They're both such energetic individuals.
That's so nice. Yes.
To put it mildly, good, yeah. that would be a lot of fun. Max is a Bitcoin guy, so he's not overly into a lot of the other political spaces.
Yeah,
it'd be an interesting conversation too. Yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Interesting, yeah.
Maybe we'll do that.
That's a thought.
Lord Beerus says, "Ever consider Tom McDonald for your show? Might be fun." Well, yeah. Absolutely.
Tom has a standing invite, but I don't know if you've noticed at the rate he's dropping music, that man is unbelievably busy and he's doing it all on his own with his girlfriend and his pal. So whenever he gets a break, we'd love to have him.
All right. Jerome Morrow says, please create a fictional episodic show that starts as very thinly veiled narrative of the current activity of the American authoritarian left and then proceeds to depict the horrific nightmare dystopia that inevitably follows. Yeah, we could. You know, the thing is, like, CGI is getting relatively cheap these days, and you can do a lot with just one room that's all green.
Oh.
Yeah, so we could theoretically make a whole show, a fictional sci-fi, filmed in one room. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
You just get one room and make the whole thing green and light it up properly.
Whoa.
I suppose, you'd have to move the lighting for every angle you're doing when you're filming, yeah. But it's totally possible to do.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be pretty epic. All right, let's see. We'll just do we'll do one more right here. Amenthi says, how much in super chats to get Ian in the rainbow monkey costume for a Halloween show?
I would do that for free.
Oh wow. Okay.
No.
Oh my gosh.
We are going to do so as part of the new website, we're actually going to have like an auction functionality, because what we're going to do for the live events, which hopefully we will have in the next like month or so, announce one of our first events. They were supposed to be months and months ago. Mm. We're a bit, jammed up in the process. The way it's going to work is there's going to be first come, first serve, as well as highest bidder. We're trying to find a way to make it as maximally open as possible. Some people were like, I work 24/7. How am I supposed to be able to go on the internet and buy a ticket before anyone else if I'm at work? And I'm like, so then maybe what we do is people can bid on tickets. And we can also make it so that people can buy tickets if it's first come, first serve. That way there's an option for people who are at work and don't have time but can spend a little bit more money. And then people who don't have that much money but might have more time. And just trying to figure out how to make it work. But we can do an auction on a variety of costumes, like, make Ian wear the rainbow.
Oh, no, I like doing it of my own free will. But if you want to entice me.
We can have people buy costumes or something. Or yeah. We'll do a poll. God. We'll have people submit costume ideas.
Dude, send me clothes and I will wear them.
Oh my god.
Send me crazy outfits to the P.O. box and I'll wear them.
I love it.
That's actually a good idea. Yeah. So at timcast.com, and I think it's in the contact section, there's a P.O. box. Ian said it right there. Send Ian your clothes. You're going to get a bunch of band t-shirts.
That'd be fine. I need more clothes anyway, more crazy shirts.
You're just saying that. Yeah, it's true.
All right, everybody. If you haven't already, give that like button a little tap. Subscribe to this channel. Share the show with your friends. Go to timcast.com. Become a member. At around 11 or so, we will have a members-only podcast up from, which is the extension of tonight's show. That's where we talk about the things that YouTube tells us we can't really talk about. So, like, whatever Ian's costume might end up being, we'll say the actual name of it because we can't say it for the most part on YouTube. You can follow this show on Instagram and Facebook at TimCastIRL. We're also on TikTok at Timcast_IRL. We're just trying to leverage these networks to get people to go to the website, because ultimately we want to have our own independent media platform that is, that doesn't need any of these social networks. For the time being, though, we don't want to cede that ground in the culture war by just abandoning them. So it's a double-edged sword, I guess. It's hard to know how to deal with this stuff, because the censorship is really, really awful. You can follow me personally at Timcast. And again, make sure you subscribe and hit that like button. Olivia, did you want to mention your social media or anything?
Oh, yeah. Subscribe to my YouTube, Olivia Rondo, R-O-N-D-E-A-U, on Twitter at Rondo Olivia, on Instagram at Rondo.Olivia.
You can also follow me at IanCrossland.net and at IanCrossland on social media. Thanks for coming.
You guys may follow me at Sour Patch Lids as I attempt to gain more followers on Twitter than Sour Patch Kids.
We will see all of you over at TimCast.com for that members-only podcast. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.